Galloway Ford. We're going stark raving mad and selling new Fords at Jet Cost. That's right. Through Monday, the number one selling Ford dealer in the Southeast is clearing out over 2,000 new Fords at Dead Cost. By federal law, when we say dead cost, we mean it.
No profit.
Choose from the largest selection of F-Series trucks in the southern United States, starting at $14,990.
$14,990. That's crazy.
Get to Sam Galloway Ford for savings up to $7,000. And we're even giving away rebates up to $4,000. You've got to be crazy to miss this event through Monday.
It's March Madness.
Let yourself run wild.
We did.
Brand new Fords at
Dead Cost.
And this Saturday, get lunch on the house, the Ale House. Only at Sam Galloway Ford. Between 41 and Summerlin on Boy Scout Drive, Fort Myers. Because we sell more, you will save more.
Exit left 150 Heritage, regular cab, for credit plus tax, tag, time, all rebates.
A pop quiz for parents with second grade teacher, Mrs. Ridge. Today's quiz will be a multiple choice. Number one. The last time I watched TV was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number two, the last time I saw a movie was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number three, the last time I watched pro sports was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. And one more question, pass or fail. The last time I visited my child's school was A, last night, B, last week, C, last month, or D, none of the above.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Which oak grows well beside a river or stream? And what's a great tree to plant on a dry hillside? At the National Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, you'll find out what tree to plant where. See how trees can add value to your home and cut your energy costs. Go to arborday.org for whatever you need to know about trees.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
That's arborday.org.
I watch you drink. And I fear for our future.
I hate you. And I feel ashamed.
I confront you. And I fear losing control.
I love you. And my heart aches with sadness.
I wish you'd just stop drinking.
We know what you feel because we've been there. We're Al-Anon and Alateen. Call 888-4-ALANON.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Glad to be with you today here on the Guy James Show. How you doing? Are we on? Well, I hope we're having a good day today. It's beautiful here in Southwest Florida, I'll tell you that much. A gorgeous day, about 80 degrees, and so we're looking forward to having a really, really beautiful day here today on the radio with you. That is, once I get my headphones turned up. There we go. It's not the folks in the boardroom. It's this bozo here that's in charge in my room. I thought I was talking to myself for a moment, but hey. Welcome. We're awfully glad to have you with us, no matter where you are. If you're here locally in the Fort Myers, Florida area, or Naples, Florida, or Venice, or all the way up to Bradenton, or perhaps you are on the internet, and you might be just anywhere in the entire world. We're awfully glad to have you with us today. Both of our audiences always contribute a lot to the program. And you know, before I really get started today, I want to thank some folks here. If I can find this little list I got, I may have to wait till I find it just a little bit later. Boy, I got to tell you, what a time we had at our Collier County Jefferson Jackson banquet. Wow. Kudos to all the folks that put that on. You know, you don't think Democrats are excited around the country? Let me tell you something. Last year, there were about 100 people at that Jefferson Jackson banquet. About 100. That's all there were. It was a nice get-together and a real good time. This year, there were 300 romping-stomping Democrats there. We had George McGovern with us talking. I tell you what, there's no better speaker anywhere than George McGovern. My gosh, what a pleasure it was to sit and listen to George McGovern. I don't know. He must have spoken for about 40 minutes, and I'll tell you what, if he'd have wanted to talk for another couple hours, that would have been just fine with me. He got to telling stories about days back in the Senate with Hubert Humphrey and Sam Ervin and those folks. It was spellbinding. It really was. So thanks to everybody down in Collier County. It was a wonderful experience. Yours truly got to speak for a little while. Betty Castor, our candidate for the United States Senate that's going to take Bob Graham's seat, she was there. It was just a great evening, and they raised a lot of money for the Democratic Party. It was exciting. And as always, we've got a heck of a week going here. You know, thrills and chills every week. The Bush administration just keeps us entertained with more and more and more of their malarkey. You never know. You just never know what they're going to come up with. And, you know, folks, being at that big soiree last Saturday night reminded me that Democrats are energized. I don't care where you go. I was up in the northeast corner of Florida, maybe 10 days ago, and I heard from the folks up in Jacksonville that their Democratic Club is experiencing the same growth and excitement and energizing that we are here. It's happening all over. I hear it on the internet constantly that everybody's Democratic Clubs and meetups and so forth are very, very exciting. And I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be in Bush's shoes right now, because I'm going to predict right here now he's going to join his father as another one-term Bush. That's the way it's going to be. And really, you know, the coming presidential election seems to present perhaps the most clear choice we've ever had in a presidential campaign. It really seems like the Republicans are going to run solely on the national security issue. They can't run on their domestic economic record or their record on education or Social Security or any other issue. You know they can't run on honesty and integrity by this administration. They sure can't run on job creation. They can't run on fiscal responsibility. When you think about it, in short, all they can do is try to run as they're now doing, trying to run on their war on terrorism. Oh, yes, they're trying to blame their failures on the Congress, because Congress, with few exceptions, went along with them on this war. But what was Congress to do when the administration built the case for war on outright lies and deception? What were Democratic House and Senate members to do when the President of the United States, the Vice President, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, and a host of other administration officials brought forth so-called, as Colin Powell called it, ironclad proof that war was imperative? What about that? What do you think? Do you, as a U.S. congressman, give the benefit of the doubt to your president when he claims we are, and I quote, being threatened with a mushroom cloud? Do you not believe your Secretary of State when he goes before the entire world and claims he has, and I quote, absolute proof that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, unquote? Let's be honest here. All those claims were made before we became aware of the fact you can't believe a word that comes out of their mouths on that side. Were our Democratic House and Senate members duped? No. I really think they were acting in good faith. I also think that the members of this administration, the press, and all Republicans who accuse those who cast a dissenting vote of being unpatriotic or un-American, you remember what that was like. Everyone who made those charges owes the accused a profound apology, because those who dissented were absolutely correct in casting their votes against that war. Bush made a mockery of the whole process by promising to involve a genuine coalition. Instead, he gathered a group of small nations who were bought off to participate. It was really pitiful, some coalition. And by now, the whole world knows this administration's word is no good. In fact, this is probably, think about this, it's probably the first American president ever to be scorned and looked down upon by the entire free world. Think about that. Think about how the rest of the world has looked up to the United States of America. How sad for America right now. How humiliating that our nation, which has always been considered a bastion of decency and truth, is now viewed with distrust and suspicion by almost the entire rest of the world. You know, as Democrats and as Americans, Americans first, of course, it's our duty to put things right again. It's our duty to repair our relationship with many other countries around the world. It's our duty to fight terror whenever and wherever it rears its ugly head. And under a new Democratic administration, we can and we will do so. We'll do it the right way, hand in hand with the rest of the peace-loving peoples of the world, with a leader the rest of the world will look up to instead of a man who's made lying an art form. Yes, Mr. Bush, go ahead and run on your record. Hell, I'll be glad to help you run on your record. I'd be more than happy to promote your record, your honest record, right here on the Guy James Show. We'll help Mr. Bush promote exactly what he's done for the people of America. We'll be exactly honest about it. Don't you worry. So you don't have to go out and buy ads here in Fort Myers. We'll do it for you, Mr. Bush. Yes, we'll tell everybody exactly what your record is, and we'll tell the truth about it. I tell you, the more people know about your record, the better John Kerry's going to do. And he'll do it with the truth. Remember those famous words of Adlai Stevenson? I think it was Adlai Stevenson. If it wasn't, it was Harry Truman. But I believe it was Adlai Stevenson said, and I quote, if the Republicans promise to stop lying about the Democrats will promise to stop telling the truth about Republicans. You know, it's time for a change. We deserve better. We're going to get better. We're going to make this nation better because we're going to go to the polls like we've never gone to the polls before, and we're going to vote Mr. Bush out. That's what he deserves. That's my opinion. What's yours? I'd love to hear from you. Love to have you call in 1-888-602-7500, 888-602-7500, 7501-0203-04. You got that? And if you're in Canada or here locally, you call us at 239-479-5540. 239-479-5540. And down in Collier County, 263-6570. Is that enough numbers for you? I do want you to call today. We've got an awful lot to talk about. Once again, the Bushes have given us a tremendous amount of material for this week. I've got enough material here to talk about that we could talk for plenty of hours straight about this. We're a little later, we're going to get into truth-telling on the air. We're going to examine what many of you think is the, Mr. Republican mouthpiece himself, Rush Limbaugh. Going to give you a perfect example of how Mr. Limbaugh lies through his teeth day in and day out and on his program. We're going to give you an actual example of it and play it for you. And yeah, you don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to his words and you can go look it up. We have got Charles in Naples. Charles, welcome to the program. Charles with us? Oh, Charles. Okay, Charles, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi, I'm a Republican. I heard your monologue there in the first opening comments of the show.
Yeah.
And I guess what I've got to say as a Republican, who do you think Osama would vote for? I think
it really doesn't matter who Osama would vote for, does it? He's not going to vote. That's a moot point. What else you got to say?
Well, I've got to say that, you know, America's credibility in the world, now the world knows that they're not going to mess with us, that if people come and want to murder our citizens,
uh-huh,
on our soil,
uh-huh,
we're going to take action.
How many of them been murdered since the Bush administration came in? Answer me that. How many?
Well, I know.
How seriously did the Bush administration take the threat from Osama before 9/11? How seriously? Not at all.
Not whatsoever.
They were told when the Clinton administration left that he was the number one threat.
tell me what the Democrats did, because Clinton had a chance to knock the man off.
Absolutely a fabrication. Absolutely a fabrication that has been debunked over and over and over again. Never happened.
Then I guess Colin Powell and the administration is completely lying.
The administration never said that. Several publications said that. He never had the opportunity to get that. They found out that that guy from the Sudan who made that claim was lying through his teeth. Had no facts to back it up whatsoever. It just plain never happened. Do you really believe that somebody would have turned down the chance to get Osama bin Laden? And by the way, Mr. Bush had a chance to get a hold of Osama from when the Taliban said they'd turn him over to him. And they couldn't get together on the terms. So I'm not blaming Bush for that. I'm not blaming that at all, but, you know, whatever Osama would vote for, I don't really give a damn. Doesn't matter what he would do. People around this world distrust the United States right now. There are several nations that fear us.
I agree, and I think this is a good thing.
Well, it depends who they are. How do you suppose the Spanish feel right now?
Well, I tell you, you know, when the Soviet Union existed, not that I'm supporting the Soviet Union, but people didn't go over there and mess with them and try to take their people hostage.
Well, if you think that any of this is going to stop these terrorists from trying to kill people in this country and doing it, and they will, they'll do it again. You're mistaken. It's not going to stop them. We have not stopped them. You know, the Bushes made the claim the other day that we've knocked off two-thirds of Al-Qaeda. How do they know that? They don't even know who's in Al-Qaeda. They have no idea.
I agree with you on that statement. I don't know how many we've got, but I tell you what, Osama is definitely not having a good time right now.
Well, probably not, but he is still at large, and I don't blame that on Bush. A lot of people want to say, oh, gee, he hasn't captured Osama. You know, that's baloney. The president, what's he supposed to do, grab a gun and go out and hunt down Osama himself? That's up to the military. I'm not going to make that crazy claim that, oh, gee, we haven't captured Osama. They're making every effort, and they'll get him some of these days. Hey, I do thank you for your call, Chuck,
very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. We've got Dan in Fort Myers. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy, how you doing?
Good.
Great show. Listen to you every weekend. In fact, you guys are going to win the election for Bush. You empower us on the right. Every weekend I listen to the same drivel. We're liars. We haven't done anything to secure the country. You know something? The reason that Clinton didn't do anything was because he was a coward.
Really now?
Democrats are cowards.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, you want to prove that to me, Dan?
Altar of the UN, the United Nations, we have to be nice to everybody in the world. That's incorrect. Everybody in the world has to be nice to us. Who's the policeman of the world? Us. Who takes care of everything when the earthquakes come and the floods come? Us. You know, you guys are going to win the election for us. Guy, keep it up, buddy.
Hey, thanks. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to tell the truth on this program. And if you can't handle it, Dan, that's your tough luck, my friend. We're going to tell the truth. See, a guy calls in, you know, that's your typical response. A guy calls in and, you know, what do you have to say? Nothing. Nothing of substance whatsoever. Cannot prove one thing I said wasn't true. Can't. You know why? Because I went over everything that I said, and I know it's the truth. But if you think you can do it, why, bring it on. We got Diana in Fort Myers. Diana, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I've been listening to all the Republican rhetoric. I'm just so sick of it. Why don't they get informed and grow up? These people, why don't they realize, do they forget when John Kerry went before the Senate and the congressional hearing, it was talking about the atrocities of Vietnam. How can they forget the name Oliver North and the My Lai massacre? How can they forget that? And they really need to go back and flip through the pages on it and remember how Ollie North got off on it. They need to go and start checking about things like the Bohemian Grove out in California that the Bushes are so big in now that they've moved up to the Mandalay Club in there. And that these people are Luciferians. They worship the devil. They worship a goddess named Moloch.
Well, now, Diane, I can't deal in that. I'm not into conspiracy theories.
You talk about the truth, but yet you don't want the truth out there about anything.
We get the truth out there every week, and I don't
There's
know.
There's a film out by Alex Jones.
Well, Diana.
He went in there and infiltrated the
Diana, we can't. Diana, you can't. You don't have a shred of proof for anything you've said. Not one word. I will defend Mr. Bush on that. I'll try if nothing else to be fair on this program. And Mr. Bush, as far as I'm concerned, he's a church-going guy and all this. I don't believe in what he thinks. In fact, he and I don't know of anything he and I would agree on. Maybe baseball. I don't know, although I wouldn't have traded Sammy Sosa like he did. But, you know, there's vast differences between us. And, they're starting off with a really negative campaign. And we're going to get into that negative campaign in a little bit. Right now, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we're going to go to a break.
Families, certain family members, 9/11 victims, all saying the same things. And I cringed. I couldn't believe that the...
Well, how did old Rush break in there? I don't know. Where did he come from? You know, Rush is going to talk to us a little later in the program, but we're going to pause for a break right now, and then we'll go to our sponsors.
My friends, there's no...
The Guy James Show.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow.
The wood from which tree clad America's Revolutionary War sailing ship, Old Ironsides. A tree that can live well over 100 years. Go to the Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, to answer your questions about trees.
Taste the breeze, it's life inside you. Make a promise to the earth.
Live oak wood clad Old Ironsides, which British warships could never sink. And once planted, sturdy live oaks can live for well over a century. Go to arborday.org for whatever you need to know about trees. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are right for planting where you live. See how to plant trees to help clear the air and protect the land. That website again is arborday.org.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
According to a new Florida law, students who can't read at grade level will no longer be promoted to the next grade. That means that next school year, more of Florida students than ever before may have to repeat a grade so they get the skills to succeed later in life. Find out how you can help your children be more successful in school. Go to www.justreadflorida.com or call 1-866-FLA-READ. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Department of Education, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
A, B, C, G, G, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Too loud and clear. We're showing. Okay, that's it, Biz. You got it now. Whatever you did right there, we have it. We one of those having one of those days in the studio here. I see. I don't know exactly what's going on, but we'll get it figured out anyway. Do join us on the internet. You know, we got a thread going on democraticunderground.com, and you can join us right there. As always, we have a show going, a thread going on there on Saturdays. We'd love to have you join us right here on the Guy James Show. As we mentioned, a lot to talk about. Hey, before I go any further, I do want to mention that there's an event coming up. Let me see. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, the International Women's Day. Kate McLaughlin and Barb Grove report back on their Tanzanian Micro Lending Mothers Club. This is going to be at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. down in Naples at 1450 Merrihew Drive. And if you need information on that, give them a call at 594-5754. 594-5754 if you need some more information on that. And the Mother's Club micro-lending program has been in the mountains of Haiti for 11 years, providing loans to over 3,500 men and women. Go learn about that. It's a very, very worthwhile thing. Oh, let's see here. Who do we have? We've got Terry in Huntsville, Alabama. Terry, welcome to the program. Is Terry with us? Are you there, Terry?
It's Kelly. Yeah, I'm
here. Oh, Kelly. Okay.
Kelly Kramer. We've talked by email before.
Yes.
I was calling about the gentleman that called earlier. He said the Democrats were cowards.
Well, you know, how are you gonna respond to that?
I'll tell you how you
You know,
you just remind him that actually the Republicans are all cowards because they're all chicken hawks. Trent Lott was a draft dodger. The whole Republican leadership, Hassard, DeLay, look at Bush. He very well might have even gone AWOL.
Well, it's hardly a group of guys that ought to be pounding for war when not a single one of them was involved in it. I mean, I've never been to war myself, but I'm not going to be out there leading the band and saying, "Hey, let's go fight." That's better left to somebody that's tasted the sting of battle, I believe.
Well, a lot of the Democrats have. Al Gore fought in Vietnam. Kerry's a decorated war hero.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Democrats that are decorated war heroes.
And there's some, you know, let's be fair. You look at John McCain. John McCain.
What they did to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's the only decent, you know, non-coward in the whole group.
John McCain is, as far as I'm concerned, he's a heck of a man. He really is.
You know, Dick Cheney's got, I think, more draft deferments than he does drunk driving arrests.
Well, it'd be close between the two.
It's three and four. I think he's got three DUIs.
Yeah.
Four draft deferments.
Wow.
So I just wanted to point that out as far as, you know, calling Democrats cowards.
Yeah, well, you know, what are they going to do? You know, when it comes right down to it, they can't defend this guy. I mean, they really can't. They can't defend what has gone on here for almost 4 years now. There's no way. And you know, Kelly, one of the things that they've started off on their attacks on Kerry, calling him flip-flopping on things. Well, that's all well and good if they want to do that, but I went and looked up a few little things about Mr. Bush, and you talk about flip-flopping on things. I mean, a guy's entitled to change his mind now and then, but first Bush was against campaign finance reform, and then he was for it. And first he was against Homeland Security, and then he was for it. He was against the 9/11 Commission, then he was for it. And he was against Iraq. And Iraq weapons of mass destruction investigation, then he's for it. He was against nation building, and now he's doing it. He was against deficits, and now he's for them. He's for free trade, and then he's for tariffs on steel, and then he's against them again. You don't know where this guy's coming from. And they were going to try and make an issue of Kerry flip-flopping on issues? Oh, please.
Well, even that same Republican caller, he said it exactly. He said, we're the world's policemen. That's exactly what Bush said we weren't going to be.
Yeah, you bet.
He said he was against nation building. He said he was against regime change.
And nobody should be the world's policeman without the cooperation of the rest of the world, of the other free-thinking, free people of the world. No one should have the responsibility. Yeah, we're the big tough guy on the block, but we need the help of other people. If we're going to police the world, we need the assistance and the cooperation and the advice of all the other nations on earth before we start taking that, you know, doing that on our own. Hey, we thank you very much for calling, Kelly.
Okay,
do appreciate it.
Okay.
Bush is trying to run on his record right now. He's trying to run on, 9/11. You all saw those ads. You did see those, didn't you? Saw those ads with them carrying the firemen. Did you know that that wasn't an actual picture, that they staged that? They hired some guys, dressed them up like New York City firemen, and staged that little deal? Yeah. Regardless of what you think about that whole thing, I thought it was, well, They promised they wouldn't do it, and they did. If you think they've done such a good job on terror and the war, ask the 9/11 families how much of a good job they've done. Ask the firefighters. Ask the firefighters that have not gotten the equipment and the money they needed to be first responders. Ask the families of the troops over in Iraq right now. Ask them. Ask them how well this administration's done. I don't think very well, do you? I don't think very well at all. You can call us at 1-888-602-7500, 888-602-7500. We'd love to hear from you. We really would. And 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And, yeah, you know, going back to that flip-flopping thing, Bush talked about helping education and increasing mandates to the states, and all the while he's cutting the funding. Some other examples. He said the U.S. wouldn't negotiate with North Korea. Now he does. He first said that help's on the way to the military, and then he cut the benefits. And first of all, he was for state rights to decide on gay marriage, and then he's for changing the Constitution. And he said he'd provide money for the first responders, the fire, the police, emergency, and then he doesn't. While back, he was for fingerprinting and photographing Mexicans who entered the U.S., now, after meeting with President Fox, he's against it. So, hey, guys, nice try. The old flip-flop thing's not going to work because there's been more flip-flopping in the Bush administration than there is down at our local Perkins Pancake House. We got Robert in Fort Myers. Robert, welcome to the program.
Yeah, guy, I am a former Republican after I was now a Democrat because I got tired of Bush's lies. But I'm really concerned about the Democratic Party. We're facing a Republican Party that attempted to impeach President Clinton and impeach him, as you know, because he lied to the American public over sex, and all the damage there was a stained dress and a young lady's honor. However, we're dealing with a president here that has lied to the entire world about weapons of mass destruction, who has slaughtered innocent Iraqis, and who has caused our soldiers to be killed. What is wrong with the Democrats in Congress? Why are they not drawing up articles of impeachment against Mr. Bush?
Well, I'll tell you exactly the same thing that I heard Tom DeLay say on the floor of the House recently. I was in Washington, and I was sitting up in the gallery, and they were trying to, and I've told this story before, we had some people on the Democratic side of the aisle trying to get the Republicans to go along with extending the unemployment benefits, and Tom DeLay stood up and says, with that smirk on his face that I just love from Tom DeLay, and he stood up and says, hey, last time I looked, it took 218 votes to win, and you don't have them. That's the trouble. We don't have the votes. We don't have a chance on that. Not a chance.
Well, there's some things we have to do on conviction and courage.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I do, Robert. And I'll tell you what. If there's ever been a president of the United States who deserved that, it is Bush. Because the lie on the war alone, you know, never mind his handling of the economy, never mind the Medicare cost cover-up that we're going to talk about a little later, never mind the Valerie Plame outing, which is, I think that could stand alone as an impeachment thing. We just don't have the people to do it. But I agree with you.
Let me add something to you on health care, and I am in the health profession. Every time Mr. Bush cites one of these physicians as a wonderful example, like the lady gynecologist from Bradenton that he had sitting in the gallery at the two State of the Union speeches ago, or the gentleman here from Port Charlotte who he cited as such a wonderful example. If you go look at these records, these are doctors, both of whom have had huge multiple malpractice cases against them, who have had multiple judgments against them. And let me tell you something, it is not easy to get a judgment against you as a physician. 50% of the malpractice claims are caused by less than 10% of the doctors. And the people that he brings up as examples are the people that fall in those 10%. We need to take those licenses away from these people rather than show them as good examples. The Democrats have got a long way to go, and I hope we can do it before this gentleman runs this country into the ground.
Oh, you know, Robert, you're exactly right, and I agree with you. I'll be the first one to say that there's a lot of Democrats in Washington that need to grow a spine. They've been spineless all during this administration. Many of them have. There have been a few that made some noise and so forth, but there's been a bunch of Democrats that have had no spine whatsoever during this administration. At first, they were scared because, well, you know, the Bushes and the right-wing media were throwing that unpatriotic, un-American thing at them. And I think they've gotten over that now. But I agree with you. I do.
We need people to write another chapter in John F. Kennedy's book on profiles and courage. We need the Democrats to show some courage and throw this guy out of power.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Robert, thank you for calling the program. Great call. 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And you can join us on, you can join us on democraticunderground.com. We got a thread going on there. And we'd love to hear from you. Just log on to democraticunderground.com, and go to the discussion forum, and you'll see the Guy James live thread going on right there. I try to keep up with it here in the studio. It's not always that easy. We've got who do we got? We've got Mary in Naples. Mary, welcome to the program. Are you there, Mary?
Yes,
welcome.
Well, welcome. Thank you very much, Mr. James. This is the first time I've been able to hear you. I do listen to a lot of talk radio during the week, and unfortunately, there's no liberal voice out there. But anyway, I just was in my car, and I was able to call. There's one thing that absolutely terrifies me is that even though I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, I will never vote Republican. I truly believe that Jim Carrey is going to have a terrible mess on his hands. I don't see how we can ever get out of Iraq. We cannot possibly abandon those people. We have completely disrupted their lives. Saddam Hussein was a horrible person. I agree that he needed to be, you know, to be dethroned, but was it really our job? And look what's happened. I mean, I live in abject terror of what's going to happen in the long run over there.
Oh, you know, you're right, Mary. We are in a position right now that to just pick up and walk out tomorrow is going to be not fair to those people. I think a withdrawal over a short period of time, over a few months, might be fair if we put enough money in there to help their infrastructure get going and let them get their own government. You know, here we are, a country that's fighting to. The right is fighting to take the wall down between church and state in this country, and yet we're fighting to tear it down over there and don't want to let their religious folks in on their government. They're fighting that. Our side's fighting that tremendously. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. It really is. Democracy is not going to be anything that's going to happen overnight over there. Of course, I heard Neil Bortz say around here the other day, democracy is a terrible thing. Neil Bortz said democracy is an evil thing. Now, he's the first person I think I've ever heard say that. But
really?
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, really, where else is he going to go and say that?
He's safe saying it here, that's for certain.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things that I watch this, I listen to other people, and they still have the chest beating of marching to the drum of patriotism. And, it does. It concerns me a lot. I just wonder, I heard on the NPR station a few weeks ago about what's happened to women over there. There were a lot of, a majority of women over there actually had a lot of rights underneath Saddam Hussein. And now with this new religious fanaticism coming in, all of a sudden they're getting everything taken away from them.
Yeah. And in Afghanistan as well, things are not going so great in Afghanistan. It's... Well, women in that culture don't do very well, and
it's a tortured place.
Yes, it is.
Next to Haiti.
Yeah, we can only hope, good Lord willing, that the things work out over there, and we can get our people out of there with as many of them safe and sound as possible, and get them back home here.
Yeah, living through Vietnam, I don't know, it just makes me weep.
Well, people tend to forget. Our lives are going on every day here in this country, and we're going to the grocery store, we're doing this, we're doing that, and people are busy with their lives. People forget there's a horrible thing going on in Iraq right now and Afghanistan. There's our kids over there getting shot at every day. Some more killed this week. The bombings that have taken place, And people also forget that it can happen here again and probably will. Mary, I thank you so much for your call.
Well, thank you for hearing me.
I do appreciate it. We're going to pause for a break right now. You can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We'll be right back after these messages.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
In 1941, the USO was born to honor and comfort the men and women of our armed forces around the world. Men and women who have put our dreams and our futures above their own, who protect and defend the freedoms we hold so dear. And burning in every one of their hearts is a singular, undeniable desire to come home, to return to the ones they love, to realize their dreams, to be free and at peace. And so the USO will carry on to touch their spirits, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Wherever and whenever they go, until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every song is sung and every battle won, until everyone comes home. To find out more about the USO, visit us at uso.org.
Orthopedic surgeons are perfecting a promising new procedure that could end some tragic mistakes in the operating room. It's called Sign Your Site, and it calls for surgeons to sign their initials directly on the patient in the correct spot where the surgery needs to happen while the patient watches. Some might say signing your site is being overly cautious. We say when it comes to surgery, there's no such thing. For more on patient safety, visit AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Angela, who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back with you, and glad to be so. Hey, we're going to have a good show today. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Locally, if you're living right around the Fort Myers area, you can call us at 479-5540. And if you're living down in Collier County, that's Naples for all you well-heeled folks, 263-6570. I say that, you know, to our folks listening around the world, if you've never been to Naples, Florida, there's a place down there called Port Royal. Oh, my God. You got to see it. There's homes down there, you know, $30 million. And not just one, but lots of really expensive homes. Beautiful place. It really is. We have, right now, we've got Bill on the line. We've got Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm proud to say I voted in the Democratic primary. I wish it would have been a little more crowded when I did, but I did vote.
Well, you know, Bill, when you can, Steve, locally here, Steve sent me a note about it. When you stop and think that the primary was really, for all intents and purposes, over with, when you consider the fact that we were last in this whole thing, it's surprising as many people turned out as they really did.
Well, I want to send a message to the Bush people that we're ready.
Yeah.
I was amazed this week in the newspaper that the Bush administration was actually bragging that they have extended the oil embargo on Iran when it's already been on 60 Minutes, that certain companies known as Halliburton, in order to get around that embargo, established an offshore office in Bermuda or somewhere so that they could still get the business even though we have an official embargo going on. And why is the Bush administration bragging that they're going to extend an embargo that they're practically breaking themselves?
You know, Bill, they know that 75% of the people in the United States are totally uninformed and never find out the truth about that. They know that they own the radio airwaves, and there's not enough of us to get that message out. They know that many of the publications, the TV shows, the Fox News Network, they're not going to put that out. You know, they can do a lot of things and get away with it because, well, because they own the media, that's why.
Well, when we have the presidential debates, I don't know how President Bush is going to have a leg to stand on. I'm really looking forward to it. On another subject, I couldn't believe that C-SPAN actually put David Bossie on as a guest this morning, but, you know,
really?
Speech, you have to let him on. This guy's an open lackey for Richard Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah.
And he was pulling such underhanded deals in Arkansas trying to impeach Bill Clinton that Tim Russert, who's one of the most even-tempered people on the face of the earth, had to call his people and tell them to not have any association with David Bossie, that his network would not be responsible for any association with David Bossie. And I couldn't believe he was on C-SPAN today.
Well, I congratulate Russert for that. And whatever's wrong with C-SPAN doing that, I don't know. David Bossie is a man who has no credibility whatsoever, as you said, is closely associated with Richard Mellencamp and tried that Arkansas project to get that. You know, he's as low on the dirty trick squad as you can get.
Oh, it's pathetic. And I believe that this is why I want a new administration. I don't believe this is the liberals against the conservatives. This is the liberals and a lot of the conservatives against the radicals that are in charge now. And one little example is that our country almost shut down because of a little bit of nudity in the Super Bowl game because these people like Tom DeLay and John Ashcroft, who they don't even believe they believe in creation. They're flat earth people. And I was just thinking that there's probably more nudity in Rome in the Sistine Chapel than there was in that Super Bowl game. And
yeah, you're right.
You know, these people don't care about the rest of the world. They're empire builders. Can you imagine, let's say 10 years from now, when these people are in charge of an empire, and that Tom DeLay and John Ashcroft go into the Sistine Chapel and start covering up all that nudity? This is what we've got to wake up and understand, that these people are not conservatives, they're radicals, and it's time, as they say, to let the door hit them in the elbow.
Radical is the word, Bill. Radical is the word. Neocon, radical, as far right wing as you can get. Take us back to the Quaker, put on those big black hat guys. That's exactly what they are. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling.
Okay,
appreciate your
call.
Let's see, who are we going to go to right now? We got Amanda. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys.
Good to hear from you.
Good hearing from you. You sound great. You have got to be the most informed Democrat liberal on the planet.
We try. you know, Amanda, why you mentioning that, there's only one way to do a program like this, and that's to be informed, to soak up all the news you can during the week, to explore, to research, to find out the truth so you can give everybody the truth on your show. That's the only way to do it.
You're absolutely right. You have to be able to back up what you say.
Yep.
To be credible.
Hey, folks. Hey, Amanda. Let me ask you a question. And I'm remiss. Is your banner up on the Guy James website yet?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It looks great.
I want you folks to go to www.theguyjamesshow.com website. Of course, some of you listening are there right now, and click on Amanda's banner and get that CD. I got a copy of it sitting right here in my briefcase. With all these calls today, I'm struggling mightily to find some time to play it. But Amanda has done a wonderful job. You talk about something that will inspire you. I guarantee Amanda's CD will inspire you.
Thank you, Guy. I appreciate that. I did a lot of research on it, like 4 months worth of research, and I took some actual emails from people how the Bush administration and the Republican Party has affected them personally. And, you know, you tell me yourself, it brought tears to your eyes.
Yes.
And every bit of it was true. You know, today when I was looking at the horrible thing that has happened over in Spain, I remember Vice President Gore saying, and this is on the CD too, saying that if we invaded Iraq, it would be a haven for terrorists. And that's exactly what has happened. We're not any safer now. We're less safe now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people, when they listen to the ads that are running, and you spoke about them a little bit ago, can think that we're possibly any safer by infuriating all of these nations in this country. I just don't get it.
It's the old stick in the hornet's nest thing. I mean, that's exactly what's happened.
exactly what happened. I mean, we were already hated, but now we're really hated.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of our young guys and gals over there who are so brave, and, you know how I feel about that.
Well, I certainly do, and let me tell our audience that no one knows better about veterans' affairs than Amanda. She lives it every day, and her husband lives it every day. And someone that speaks from the brain and from the heart when she talks about veterans' affairs.
I tell you something, too, Guy, that I learned a couple of weeks ago. I sent off for some information, and I want to share this with the audience, especially the voting public out there and the veteran community. This is not a Republican or Democratic issue anymore. This is an American issue. And whether people know it or not, those young brave soldiers fighting in Iraq and in Afghanistan, they're not going to be treated that well when they come back, because I've gotten this straight from 810 Vermont, which is downtown Washington, that when Bush made that little landing on the aircraft carrier that said mission accomplished, and he said all hostilities are over, that meant a whole lot more than people realize. That means that those servicemen and women cannot service connect their injuries the way I understand what I read that came straight from the headquarters.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It means that when he declared hostilities over, then they're not going to be able to service connect any injuries that they're getting now the way I read it, the way I understand it. And I've called a couple of times back up there to the people, and this came from the gentleman who writes the newsletters regarding the environmental hazards and agents.
Wow.
I'm like Agent Orange. And, of course, you know they've upped from the $2 copay to $15.
Oh, yeah.
These vets get a lot of prescriptions. So
that's right.
They can't afford it.
Well,
And on top of that, they will only treat even service-connected injuries for 2 years. After that, bingo.
This administration is no friend of the Armed Forces veterans. No friend at all. Amanda, thank you so much for your call. I got a board full flashing at me here to take.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for keep doing what you're doing. And I want to tell everyone, please, please support Guy James. The Guy James Show is our liberal voice. We need him.
Thanks, Amanda.
Okay, thank you, Guy.
We're going to go right now to... Who are we going to go to? Matt in Estero. Matt, welcome to the program.
Yes, how are you?
Great.
This is just a continuation of what you just heard on the previous speaker. I am retired military, having served in WW2, Korea, and Vietnam. And I was going to speak to you about what the Bush administration has been doing to veterans. These facts are all documented. They're in every military publication and military officers' publication, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled Veterans. There have been a number of bills passed in the last year or two which have never been able to get to the White House because they've been threatened that they would be vetoed. The most important is that the Veterans Administration budget for hospitalization and hospitals and clinics has been cut by a couple of billion dollars at this time when we are probably in most need of it with the new casualties coming out of the Iraqi war. There are two other areas of major significance. You want me to keep talking?
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead. Okay.
You're talking about what the Bush people are doing to the veterans, not for them.
To the veterans.
Not for them.
To the veterans,
yes.
Not for them.
That's right.
And which, if you ask 9 people out of 10 on the street, you know, they get the impression that Bush is this gung-ho military guy doing everything for our servicemen here and abroad.
Total bunk.
And right behind the scenes, he is doing everything, and if it isn't him, it's somebody in the White House doing it, which has emasculated every bill that has gone there to assist veterans. Now, some of these things are not of general knowledge. We have a bill called concurrent receipt. This is one of the most discriminatory bills, situations that we have had in existence for years. This bill was to correct this discrimination in that any retired veteran, you get that? Retired veteran was disabled, never got any disability pay. Now, if you retired from Congress, you retired from the government, you retired from General Motors, and you were disabled, you served maybe 3 years, 2 years, or one day in the service, you got a disability, you got disability pay and retirement pay. Well, 2 years ago, they tried to correct this injustice. The word came down from the Washington, from the White House, no, we will veto this bill. Though 85% of the House and the Senate had voted for it. Finally, they have passed an emasculated version of this bill and said, we will make some corrections over a 10-year period, beginning in 2004 to 2014, we will try to make some adjustments in this discrimination. Does that make sense to you?
I tell you, they do everything behind the scenes that they
this
can.
This is behind the scenes, and why some of our Democratic people aren't bringing this up as to besmirch the party there for what they're doing to veterans. Another one, which is now...
We got less than a minute.
Okay, another one is called Survivor Benefit Plan, commonly known as SBP, which widows of retired people have their retirement reduced by 50%. Grossly unjust. And then they had, part of the bill was if you paid for 30 years into this bill, which is to give retirement to widows, which a serviceman can elect to do, otherwise they get nothing when you die, they said after 30 years you don't have to pay. And that act bill goes into effect in 2008, when there will be people who have paid for 38 to 40 years.
Yep.
So people, wake up. Wake
Absolutely.
Up and see what's happening to veterans in this administration.
Matt, I thank you so much for your call. Very informative and absolutely very correct. Please call us again. A great call. We got to stop right now for the news coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 here in Fort Myers, Florida.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Spanish terror suspects nabbed by a cell phone. I'm Joan Bennett. Spain's interior minister says five people have been arrested in Thursday's train massacre in Madrid. Three Moroccans and two Indian citizens. ABC's Charles Glass in Madrid.
This clearly takes away much of the spotlight that had been on the Basques and moves it clearly toward the Middle East. The interior minister said that he did not have a direct connection to Al-Qaeda, but clearly it's pointing in the direction of possibly of an Al-Qaeda link. The interior minister went on to say that two other Indian citizens were helping police with their inquiries.
Spanish government officials say the arrests are tied to a cell phone found along with a bomb that didn't go off. Two-day standoff with a heavily armed 16-year-old has ended in East Tennessee with the boy's apparent suicide. He'd held authorities at bay after killing a sheriff's deputy yesterday. Some 20 hours later, police found him dead with a gunshot wound to the head. Police in Fresno, California, are looking into the possibility that the killings of nine people whose bodies were found in a home were part of a ritual. The victims, seven children, a teenage girl, and a young woman. Police questioning the father of the kids.
This is obviously a terrible, horrific tragedy. The only thing we can do now is mourn. We mourn for the kids.
Fresno Mayor Alan Autry. Finally, Pavarotti's swan song.
The distinctive voice of the popular tenor has filled the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City nearly 400 times since 1968. Yet this may be it for Luciano Pavarotti, who says it's his last performance on the stage. Though the 68-year-old opera star did allow, miracles can happen. Every ticket has been sold out at the Met for Pavarotti's finale, Tosca.
That's ABC's Barbara Britt, that performance tonight. This is ABC News.
This is Larry King with groundbreaking news about Alzheimer's disease. A recent population study published in a major medical journal suggests that high daily doses of vitamins C and E may offer protection against Alzheimer's when taken together in the higher levels available from individual supplements. More reason than ever to take C and E daily. While Ester C was not the vitamin C used in this study, Ester C is the patented non-acidic vitamin C that I take every day. Ester C.
Hurry into PetSmart during our Essentials Sale. and take advantage of huge savings on must-have items, including pet food, treats, and cat litter. Stock up and save throughout the store during the PetSmart Essentials sale on things like Eukanuba dog and cat food. Save $5 on 40-pound bags of Eukanuba dog food and $3 on 6.5-pound bags of Eukanuba cat food in assorted varieties. Hurry in and save big during our Essentials sale. Going on now for a limited time, only at PetSmart. While supplies last, see store for details.
Monday on Wink News This Morning.
At 6:13, the American Art of Quilting. Then, what's the best way to file your taxes? And a new computer could mean a tax break.
Monday on Wink News This Morning.
Monday, only on Wink News at 5:30. Are you looking for the best vehicle for your money? We'll put some popular vehicles through some everyday tests, like braking on wet pavement, handling, and even a bumper basher test. Find out which one tops our best of the best list. Monday, only on Wink News.
The first thing you do, the first chance you get, make the first thing you watch. Wink News This Morning. Live on-scene reports. Real-time traffic, weather every 8 minutes, and the best morning news team around. Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, Marisa Oaks. Wink News This Morning, first for you.
Hi, it's the day of the blessed St. Patrick, and we'll all be celebrating at Dwyer's Irish Pub, where more than a wee bit of Ireland is in our midst. This will be the biggest and the best St. Patrick's Day celebration this side of the pond, with live entertainment both inside and out. The Screamin' Orphans will surely be there, along with the boys from LST, to rock the outdoor stage. Celtic Stew will be handling the shenanigans inside, and the Harp and Thistle Band will play the bagpipes. And as sure as the Irish bring you luck, the Guinness will be flowing at Dwyer's like the River Shannon. Beginning at 4 o'clock, be one of the first 200 guests to arrive and receive a Dwyer's commemorative Patty's Day pint. And that first pint is on the house. Then I have all the traditional favorites, corned beef and cabbage, shepherd's pie, and Irish stew. The Dwyer family invite you to celebrate this St. Patty's Day in the true Irish tradition. Dwyer's Irish Pub, located just south of Daniels Parkway on US 41. There'll be a $10 admission charge at 4 o'clock with a portion benefiting the Sheriff's Youth Branch. Join the Dwyer's at St. Patrick's Day, and please drink responsibly.
Legendary athlete Eric Weinmayer, the first blind person to climb Mount Everest, believes that literacy lets you reach the summit of your dreams.
That's why I've joined with Verizon Reads and the American Foundation for the Blind, and an important initiative that will assure equal access to textbooks among children whose only limitation is their inability to see.
To find out more, call 800-232-5463 or visit verizonreads.net or afb.org.
One of every $4 that you spend on auto insurance goes to pay fraudulent claims. Here's one way it's done. A non-existent late model luxury car is insured using a phony title and vehicle ID. It's later reported stolen. The car will never be found because it didn't exist. If your state or insurance company has an effective photo inspection program, please cooperate. It will save you money. If not, ask your elected officials, why not? A public service message from the Florida Auto Theft Intelligence Unit.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they say?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah. Guy James here with you, and doggone happy to be with you today. I don't know what the deal is today, but I feel so good. I really do. Seldom have a day where I feel just so good. Hey, a couple of more things before I get back to the calls. And callers, hang on. I'll be right with you. A couple more thanks I have to pass out. I want to thank Jeannie Ishishenko for her great news report she sends me all the time. I'm telling you, she helps me with research that, well, her help is absolutely invaluable to this program. Vic, You know who you are. Vic, I want to thank you for some great research articles you've sent. I want to say thank you to my pal Bart Kopp. For those of you listening locally here that have never been to Bart Kopp, BartCop, BartCop.com. You got to see this website. One of the absolute best. He does politics with great humor and savvy, and the guy's fantastic. You will love it. And I also want to thank our friends Tony Welsh and Candy Stroud over to DNC for all the help they provide when we need guests and so forth on the program. And a couple other things I want to say real quick. Support our troops. You just heard from a gentleman talking about how they support the troops. Oh, yes. They have this bravado where they stand in front of the cameras and they go out and make speeches and they put the flag behind them and they stand in front of a bunch of troops and make like they support our troops. You know the real truth. You just heard it. You just heard it. You just heard how they really feel about our troops. I don't want anybody sending me any more emails saying, oh, we support the troops. If you support the troops, you couldn't possibly support this administration. You couldn't possibly. And that's the truth. And one more thing before I get to the call. Two of you, and you know who you are, if you think threatening me with bodily harm is going to do you any good or you're going to get that chance to do that, you got another thing coming. Yeah, we're intimidated all the time by nutcases like you on the right. But threatening me, that's beyond the pale. It's absolutely beyond the pale. You better think twice. And you wonder why we talk about right-wing lunatics. And you know who you are. You know exactly who I'm talking to. And they're listening to this program right now. Lunatics. That's what you are when you act like that. All right. Calm down, guy. Calm down. We've got, who do we got? We've got Jewel and Benita. Jewel, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I, first of all, thank you and your sponsors and your supporters for allowing this program to be on, to give the opinion of the truth. In the first place, my husband and I could never be wealthy enough to support the Republican administration. We believe in caring for the little guy, no matter what our sacrifices have to be. And that's the way this country was made great. It was built by the middle class. It was built by the little guy. And another thing I want to say, that kudos to Matt. He certainly hit it on the head. Also, everyone must read the front page of the Fort Myers Press this morning.
Let me ask you something, Jewel. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes.
And then go ahead and tell us about the front page of the Fort Myers News Press.
The front page of the Fort Myers newspaper today had pictures of the family suffering over their son who was killed in Iraq. My heart goes out to every single one of our soldiers whose lives have been changed forever. We know that about war. And it certainly goes out to that family who've lost their child. I just want to thank all of you, and I'll let you go so that you're able to take on more calls.
Jewel, thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it so very much. We've got Russ in Cape Coral. Russ, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Guy. It's an excellent program, first of all, and this is actually my first time listening.
A rookie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I actually lived in the Middle East for 5 years. I worked for a defense contractor over there. Who are we to say how other people should live? I give you this. Saddam Hussein was a bad man. But if it wasn't for these other people having these weapons of mass destruction, who keeps us in check? Who's to say that we're the supreme? Because we say we're supreme.
Hey, didn't we try that once back in the Middle Ages?
Exactly. And this is, it's ludicrous that we're even over there. Our soldiers were over there. I'm a military veteran for 10 years. I was in the Gulf War. I saw the way that the benefits were going and all of that. I was better off getting out.
Yeah.
And it's this Bush, he's, lack of better words, a moron.
Well, I've got no respect for him. I don't.
Oh, me neither. As a commander-in-chief and leading the strongest nation in the world, he is an absolute moron. I just want to tell you thanks for the great show, and you have a super day, sir.
Thanks, Russ. You know, it just makes me absolutely sick. Just makes me sick. Knowing the research we do and find out how these people have cut veterans' benefits, and then they stand there with these photo ops. Remember that plastic turkey? Do you understand that they interviewed every one of those soldiers that was there? They passed out papers the day before and asked them what they thought of Bush and so forth, and only the ones that answered correctly got to go to that? Do you understand that's how far these people go? They've got no morals. They've got no morals. I hate to say that about the President of the United States and the administration, but it's the truth. And don't get me wrong. These people are not Republicans. You Republicans know they're not. You know they're not. They're something completely different. Completely different. If I were a Republican, I would be ashamed to have these people in my party. Absolutely ashamed. And believe you me, I know some Republicans who are ashamed and will vote for anybody but George Bush. Well, we're going to go to, well, I'll tell you what, it's so bad I can't even keep the phone straight today. We got Jewel on line four? No, we don't have anybody on line four right now. Okay, we got, who do we have on line two? Go ahead, anybody there on line two? No. Okay, who do we have? Somebody was there. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Guy?
Yes.
This is Lewis. Are you hearing me?
Yes, Lewis, go ahead. I can't hear you very well.
I was just telling the screener that I'm very disappointed in the way things are being handled over in Iraq, because here we are, the greatest republic in the country, in the world, and we're over there trying to make the Iraqis be a democracy. And that's the wrong way to go.
Well, that's, I agree.
Because a lot of those people are not educated, and the very fact that they were able to get under the thumb of Saddam Hussein shows that they are easily swayed.
Yep.
And same thing in Germany. A lot of people over there were taken in by Hitler, and if they had some representative type government with people to use their judgment over and above the mob rule, maybe we wouldn't have had Hitler.
You're absolutely right, Lewis. Hey, thank you. We got to move on. Thanks very much for your call. We've got Martha in Bonita Springs. Martha, welcome to the show.
Great to hear you. Great to hear all these wonderful callers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. You know, I have great hopes for November 2nd, 2004, because I know the American people have common sense. We had common sense in 2000 and elected Gore, but these guys took it away. And we have common sense that I think in 2004 will do us right.
The margin this time won't be close enough for them to monkey with it.
No, no. You know, I want to thank Matt, the veteran who called, World War II, Korea, Vietnam veteran. I want to thank him for serving his country. Bravo to you, Matt. And you just keep calling in and telling us all about what they're doing to the veterans, because my husband's 14-year veteran. He has absolutely nothing as benefits, nothing. I mean, he's not a retired veteran. He should have more for being a retired veteran, but he's not a retired veteran. But the Veterans Administration, because he makes more than $24,000, he will not get treatment there. It's just, you know, ridiculous what's happening to the veterans in our country. And was that Laurel who called talking about when they declared the a mission accomplished, that the veterans can no longer get service-connected benefits for their injuries?
I'm not sure who that was. But
Amanda.
Yeah, yeah. Amanda is deeply involved in veterans affairs, deeply involved.
Yeah, that never really crossed my mind, but absolutely. It's all part of their radical agenda to starve the beast, you know?
Yeah.
They want to give all their money to, you know, the Carl, they say they're for defense. Well, yeah, they're for defense contractors. Like the Carlyle Group with Bush and Carlucci and, you know, the buddies that are there in the Carlyle Group that have, you know, great interest in promoting these defense contracts, which, you know, have been a great place to spend pork. And you can certainly see that that's happening in our government today. I think that these people are conservatives is absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
They're just spending money like they said, drunken sailors,
yes.
You know?
Yes,
and they're giving it to, you know, that prescription Medicare drug plan where they just gave money to HMOs and the drug companies, our seniors are going to be paying more money, and a lot of our seniors are veterans, thank you. Our seniors are going to be paying more money on for their drugs than they do now.
They haven't they haven't realized it hasn't hit them yet.
It's ludicrous.
Yes.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And then, Halliburton's part of those defense people. Who's with that, Cheney?
I hadn't heard that.
No, you hadn't heard that? Yeah, well, I mean, it's all their buddies, Condoleezza Rice, Cheney, Bush. I mean, they are profiting. And this is, I remember you saying this a long time ago when you were on the other station, that these folks have to commit a fraud in order to cover up their last fraud.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've got to raise the money to be able to keep perpetrating these myths. And I'd like to inform your viewers, I was so pleased with John Kerry coming out with a 24-hour response to those ads by the misleader, that he's now set up a website called Debunker that debunks they're going to be putting out the spin. They're going to be trying their dirty tricks. They're
sure.
You know what they did to McCain, you know.
They're the best.
Yeah, they're good at it. Mr. Karl Rove was right there with Tricky Dick during his dirty campaign back in 1968, so he's got plenty of practice. But anyhow, Debunker is on the johnkerry.com website, and, you know, as they throw this stuff out, the Kerry people are going to be just as swift, just as fast to debunk all these myths that they throw out. I was so proud of him. I wasn't a Kerry person. But, you know, now that he's going to be our nominee, I'm going to stand up for him. But I was just so proud of him for fighting back, you know, immediately.
Yes,
sitting down. He had some spine, and I was proud of him.
No response time. When they asked him if he was going to apologize for those off-camera, he said no. And that's exactly what a guy with spine should say, because he told the truth.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, it wasn't something that was meant for the mass media. He didn't know he was mic'd. But, you know, I was so glad to hear a man speaking his mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that that's exactly what he thinks. So, that was fine with me to hear that. I didn't think it was despicable at all. I thought it was despicable.
I didn't either.
Those Bush ads, you know, he said he has totally censored having draped coffins come back of our service men and women who have been killed in Iraq. You haven't seen those draped coffins.
No. Nope.
You know, because they know that that would cause a great uproar among the American people. But
we've only seen one draped coffin lately.
And that was on that Bush ad, you know, where they used the 9/11, the firefighters bringing out one of their own, which, by the way, they treated the firefighters. You know, they cut their pay. You know, they're union people. They've been fighting the union.
And the firefighters' union is not going to support Bush either.
They're with Kerry, aren't they?
Yep.
Yep. So, you know, I feel very comfortable that the American people are going to do the right thing come November 2004. But, you know, we've got to get out and work. I know that Democrats in our county here we have 171 precincts. We had 91 of them covered with somebody greeting you to come in when you voted, getting you some information, how to get active, how to contribute, how to get involved. I appreciated Howard Dean when he said, look, if every Democrat could send in $100, we'd beat this Bush-Cheney, dirty tactics machine.
Going to beat him over the head with truth, and more truth.
Yes, and you're doing it, Guy, and I really appreciate it. And to your listeners, you know, this is a listener-sponsored radio show. We don't have a lot of do we have any advertising there, Guy?
No, ma'am.
No advertising. It's all free radio time. You don't have to listen to Blue Emu commercials or buy your Get Slim diet fraud pills or any of that kind of stuff. It's all Guy, all 3 hours. So, folks, send in $5, $10 a month. Send something. Send 25 this month. But we really love you for being on the air. I know you use every dime you've got to be on the air. We're sending our money today. And I just want to encourage everybody else to, you know, throw in a few bucks. And we can make this bigger and better. And we'll get the truth out, because we really need you.
Thank you so much.
Love
you. We love you too, Martha.
Okay.
Martha is a great, and I'm talking great, Democrat. A great Democrat. Tireless worker for the party. We've got, who do we got? We've got John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Good afternoon. I had a couple of questions and comments about the primary this week. I went and voted in the primary in a precinct that is primarily senior citizens. Although I'm not a senior citizen, that's geographically where I fell. My first concern was I didn't see many bodies there. And after hearing that the Democratic primaries were setting records in other states, that got me a little concerned about Florida. And I'd heard people from other precincts had reported similar turnout.
Sure.
The other thing was there was a lady outside this particular precinct, which I say is overwhelmingly senior citizens, asking people to sign a petition to put a Daniel Webster on the ballot. And she didn't announce herself as a Republican, although it was written at the top of the ballot. I guess that's all the disclosure that she needed to do. I thought it was a little disingenuous the way it was done. And then I looked at the bumper stickers on the back of her van next to which she was standing, and it clearly stated a pretty right-wing, radical right-wing agenda. And I think
really?
It was a very insidious little trick that was being pulled there on people coming to vote in a Democratic primary, particularly in precincts that were overwhelmingly senior citizens.
Wow. Wow. Hey, I tell you, some of them will try anything. I got to tell you a funny thing that happened. I was covering one of the precincts and passing out Democratic literature 50 feet away from the front door, exactly the way we're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this old boy came up to my table, and he was on his bicycle. Where I was, everybody came in on a bicycle. I was in a senior retirement community, and I was by far the youngest person there, and I'm no spring chicken. And these people, this old boy came up to my table, and I had literature there. I had literature for Peter Deutsch, who's running for the Senate. I had Betty Castor's literature there, who she's also running for Senate. And this old boy walked up and squinted down at the literature I had there. And I said, "Are you going to vote, sir?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm a Republican. I ain't voting in this damn election for no Democrats." And he said, "I especially wouldn't vote for none of you people now after seeing that you got Castro. You got Castro on the ballot." It was for Betty Castor. I love it. I bet you he went home that night and told everybody he could, "Them Democrats, they got that Castro on the ballot. Can
Ladies
you believe
and gentlemen,
it?"
Another typically well-informed Republican.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Well, I guess one of the things I wanted is some word of encouragement from you, because I was a little downhearted about the turnout that I saw there at the primaries.
Hey, you know what that was like? Yes, I would like to have seen a zillion people come out, but stop and think about it. That was like going to a baseball game between the Yankees and the Red Sox after the game was over. It really was. You got to go down to the ballpark and all, but there was nobody playing. Kerry had it locked up and all that, and as much as we wanted to make a statement, let's face it, when the ball game's over, it's over, and it was over. It was over.
Yeah, that's true.
And to get as many people out as we did in an election that, and I'm sorry, that, but really didn't mean much when it came down to the nuts and bolts of the thing, I was happy. I felt like you at first, then I got to thinking about it. You know, I think, gee whiz, we had plenty of people come out.
Well, it was, I put in my two cents for Mr. Kucinich. I, like you, have a great deal of admiration for him. I saw what he did to city services in Cleveland back in the late 70s, how he turned so much of that city around in a short time, and he did it just by the power of his energy and personality, and I'm a great admirer of his also.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, John. If every politician in Washington, D.C. had the morals and the ethics that Dennis Kucinich has, we would not be making fun of politicians anymore.
That's true. I kind of put him in the mold with fighting Bob La Follette and some of the prairie populists of the 20s and 30s.
You're going back a ways. You certainly are.
He's that kind. To me, he's that kind of a politician.
When you ask Dennis Kucinich a question, you're going to get the truth right in your face, whether you like it or not.
Yes. Yeah,
and I like that.
Well, I guess I'll just close off and let your other listeners in. I appreciate your program. I appreciate your comments. I listen in whenever I can. I love it when you take on some right-wing Republican that wants to try and ambush you. That's probably the most entertaining part of the program for me.
Well, as they say, one of our favorite people said, bring it on. Bring them on. Hey, John, thanks so much for your call.
Thank
we do appreciate
much,
it so
guys.
Much.
Have a good day.
You know, I've said many times that the radical right is willing to do almost anything. I won't be like our friend Mr. Bortz and say they'll do anything, because anything covers a lot of territory, and some territory where I just don't want to go. But they'll do almost anything, any dirty underhanded trick they can to stay in power. And, of course, they have their mouthpieces, as you know. They've got Mr. Limbaugh and they've got Mr. Hannity. And let me stop right there. When talking about Mr. Sean Hannity, you know his book's been on the bestseller list now for like 3 weeks? Let me tell you about this. You want to know how they sell so many books? You want to know how? New York Times bestselling author Sean Hannity's book is set to explode on the national scene. It's called Deliver Us from Evil, Defeating Terrorism, Despotism, and Liberalism. Anyway, order this book below and accept a free 4-month trial to Newsmax. Newsmax, the most far right wing news place you could go on the internet, and you get Sean Hannity's book for 99 cents. Huh? You want to know how these boys sell all those books? Every one of those that goes out the door for 99 cents is a sale on that book. Yeah, Sean, big deal. Big deal. That's how you sell your books. How many did Richard Mellon Scaife buy, too? How many does he buy of every one of these right-wing... Oh, don't get me started. All right. As long as we're talking about right-wing mouthpieces now, we got your Limbaugh, we got your Hannity, we got your Bortz, who claims to be a libertarian, but he's as far right as anybody that ever lived. We've got G. Gordon Liddy. We've got this new one coming on here locally called Glenn Beck. We've got Lucianne Goldberg. We've got, oh, my God, I don't know how many of them. I can't even keep track of them anymore. But let me set this up for you. You want to know how sinister these people are? You want to know the lengths they will go to lie and tell their people convince them, preach to their choir what they want them to hear? Mr. Limbaugh came on his show this week and made a lot of fun and disparaging remarks about two ladies, Kristen Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel, two people who are lost people in the 9/11. Terrible, terrible massacre at 9/11. These people... Two ladies both lost family members. And they got up and spoke out about Mr. Bush using the image of the slain person with the firefighters, that phony ad of his. They didn't think it was right. And I'm inclined to agree with them. I don't care if he uses 9/11 as one of the things that has happened to his administration, because it did happen. But to use that particular photographic image, I think was wrong. So they all had their talking points for the day and how they were going to talk down these people that spoke out against it. And Mr. Limbaugh made one of the biggest lies he's ever done on his program that I've heard. Not only did Mr. Limbaugh do it, they all had their marching orders for the day. This story appeared in the New York Post. This story appeared in the New York Daily News. It appeared in the Washington Dispatch. And it appeared on good old Newsmax. Okay? And here, even knowing that this was an outright lie, I want you to hear what Rush Limbaugh said right here, that was an outright lie, and they had to know it.
Families, certain family members, 9/11 victims, all saying the same things. And I cringed. I couldn't believe that the Democratic Party would sink this low to exploit and capitalize on the misery and loss of families. But they did it. They found a way. In fact, they found some family members, and I'm going to say this, they found some family members who seemed to have more concern over who the president of this country is than over the sanctity of the loss of their own family members. It is beyond the pale that this could happen. It is beyond the pale. You have people cooperate with it. And so much more has been learned about this since it turned. And by the way, the thing I predict turns out that a lot of these 9/11 family members are part of a political organization that is funded in part by Teresa Hines Carey.
Pay particular attention to this part. This is where this gets real interesting, Mr. Limbaugh setting this all up.
You know, these people are poisoned. They have literally been poisoned by their hate. Unbelievable. The depths to which they will sink. This is two different women, and they appeared on four networks. CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, and NBC. And they each have three phrases that they use verbatim. And these were prepared. These were prepared by Democratic campaign consultants. In fact, these women sound like campaign consultants, not grieving family members.
Keep in mind here right now what Mr. Limbaugh, keep in mind what he says is exactly the same that these people say. See if you think it all is exactly the same.
But that's going on behind this, and these people are indeed aligned with the Democratic Party. And it's just, I do not know this kind of hatred. I don't know this kind of venom. I don't harbor it. I never have. I don't.
This all coming from a gentleman who knew no bounds to hatred during the Clinton administration. He and his friends knew no bounds whatsoever.
By this kind of rage, and I don't know what life must be like when it is. I cannot relate. I cannot relate to being obsessed with rage and hatred. I can relate to being obsessed with love and infatuation, but I...
Yeah, Rush, I thought you were obsessed with drugs, not love, drugs. Of course, the drugs, you might put him in a good mood. Now, here's a guy talking about could never be obsessed with hatred. Evidently, he's forgotten 8 years of the Clinton administration and his program.
Obsessed with all this hatred. I just don't get it. It is unspeakable to me.
Unspeakable.
It is dirty.
Dirty.
It is wounding. I think this stuff is absolutely poison.
Yeah.
The depths... Here, listen to this montage, just in case you missed it on Friday, and understand that these family members are actually part of the Democratic Party machine as they do this.
One of the biggest lies Mr. Limbaugh has ever told on his program, that these two women are part of the Democratic machine.
Not cooperated with this commission, who has stonewalled this commission.
This president and his administration blocked the creation of the commission, have stonewalled the commission.
If this was realistic from the morning of September 11th, it would show President Bush before a group of school children listening to them read while the Twin Towers were burning.
If he wants to show a picture of 9/11 depicting what he was doing, it should be a picture of him sitting and reading in a classroom to school children. That's where he was on 9/11.
And we need...
These are facts we all know, are they not? Would these women had to have gotten prepped by the Democratic Party for these? I hardly think so.
Murdered on his watch.
Well, you know, this happened on his watch.
Yeah.
I've said it happened on his watch 100 times, and other people I know have too. Well, you know... The Voice 1 belonged to Kristen Breitweiser, and Voice 2 belonged to Monica Gabriel. Kristen Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel are both members of the Family Steering Committee for the 9/11 Commission and are not, and I repeat, are not members of the group Limbaugh claims received funding from Teresa Hines Carey. That group is September 11th Family for a Peaceful Tomorrow. One is not associated with the other. Peaceful Tomorrow statement on the Carey connection. September the 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows has never received funding. You get that? Has never received funding from the Howard Hines Endowment, the Vera Hines Endowment, the Teresa Hines Carey, or John Carey. Never received funds. Peaceful Tomorrow has no connections with the Hines or Carey family through the Tides Foundation, the Tides Center, or any other entity. So now it appears as though the above articles and Rush Limbaugh's statement on his show were wrong, completely wrong, and he knew they were wrong. He knew they were wrong, and yet he passed it off as the truth. The New York Post passed it off as the truth. The New York Daily News passed it off as the truth. The Washington Dispatch and Newsmax passed it off as the truth. It was a damned lie. This is what you're getting from the right-wing media that controls the airwaves of the United States of America. This is what you're getting. And Limbaugh is the grand high potentate of the Liars Club of the right-wing media. He's the king. He is absolutely the king. You want to believe anything that comes out of that drug junkie's mouth, you go ahead. But I just gave you a prime example right there of the depths he will sink to. He'll do almost anything. We got Mike in Cape Coral. Mike, welcome to the program.
Actually, it's John.
Oh, hi, John.
And I'm in Cape Coral. And I thought I'd talk about local issues here. There is a station which purports to be a news talk station, WINKWNOG, which has a morning show called Daybreak, which they purport to be a news program. As part of their show every morning, they run a feature with Rush Limbaugh. Now, this is part of a news show. I think there's something wrong with that. You know, I mean, this is obviously biased commentary appearing as news.
Well, Limbaugh, any association between Limbaugh and the news is it's just not accurate.
Yeah, but here's a station running a news show. Now, this is not the talk show, which they have in the afternoon. This is a news show. And it comes off as news in the morning. And commentary is one thing, but we have this they have this totally biased commentary coming off as a feature which propagandizes during news. And I think that station should label it as such. And they've been doing this for years, and I think there's something terribly wrong with it.
Well, I think you're just going to have to call in and state your piece about that and see if you can get anything done about it.
Well, probably with this station and its ownership, I doubt it. In the afternoon, they took off talk show host who people liked, put on, and then they got a program manager. He couldn't find anybody else, and he is now the talk show host. Claims to be unbiased, but every other word slams Kerry and promotes Bush.
Well, we're going to do all we can to counteract that on our program. That's what, you know, they can say what they want on their programs, and we can say what we want to on our programs, and that's just how it is.
I've heard you call up there a few times, and I'm glad you did to straighten them out, but unfortunately he does not want to hear many callers who take another point of view, and he tries to limit his calls, and if you do call up, you talk for about a minute or so, and it says, thank you, John, and he's off to the next caller. He doesn't want to hear any other point of view.
Well, I tell you, sometimes it's necessary. I will say that. If you got a whole board lit up like I do right now, it's necessary. But thanks for making your point, and call back anytime. And, you know, it's a situation where people can do what they want to on a program. They can. But it's up to us to fight back against that. If you think it's wrong, it's what this program is all about. Oh, gosh, who do we go to next here? I think we've got... boy, I'll tell you, I'm having my trouble with the phones today. We got Dick in Naples. Dick, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call again, guy. You know, it was a great monologue in those sound bites that you gave. I wish that Rush Limbaugh, you could play him back and let him listen to him. There's one thing I thought you were going to say that I know to be a fact. I happen to remember the interviews of both of these women. And I believe it was the interview they gave on, I think it was CNN. I forget the woman's name. You mentioned the names of the two women. And the commentator was making similar comments that you were. He was really interviewing her. And he wanted to say something in reference to her being a member of the Democratic Party. And before he could get his question out, she said, let me stop you right there. I want you to know that prior to 9/11, I was a registered Republican. And since then, I'm still a registered Republican. I want you folks to know that. That was one of those two women whom you just quoted.
Yeah, Kirsten Breitweiser and Monica Gabriel.
I don't know which one it was, but golly, I remember watching both those gals, and one of them is a registered Republican. So, guys, I mean, Rush Limbaugh, he's got a lot of nerve, I tell you. And there's one guy you left out of the mix that you should have thrown in there, and it's the biggest phony on radio and TV. And that's Bill O'Reilly.
He claims to
be an independent. If this guy's an independent, I'm a dead public. This guy, if he could any further to the right, he'd make Genghis Khan look like a Boy Scout.
Well, that's all just shtick.
It is your shtick.
Yeah.
And you know John from Cape Coral who just called you?
Yes.
He hit the nail right on the head. I often call in the afternoon to speak on this other station, and he doesn't even take my calls anymore, only because I give him an intelligent rebuttal. And he'll hold me. I was number one two or three times in the last month in the show, and the screener said I was number one, and I never got on. He would beat me up. Dick must have left from Naples. You know, he doesn't like controversy, and he doesn't like opposing views, and yet he too professes to be an independent. And John was right. Every other word out of his mouth is a slam against John Kerry.
Well, that's not what I'd call independent, but
I would hope you could someday, guy, really go national. It's just a shame that, you know, we have these airways in this country, and they belong to us, And, you know, you talk about freedom of speech. As far as I'm concerned, when it comes to radio and these right-wingers, you don't have freedom of speech. You can't even get on some of these shows. If I was to call Rush Limbaugh and let him know that I was a liberal Democrat from Naples, Florida, I'd never get on. So where's the freedom of speech?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well,
again, thank you for taking my call, guy. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks so much for your call. I do appreciate it. We're going to go to David in Naples. Dave, welcome to the program. Okay, you're going to have to speak up.
How you doing this afternoon, Guy?
Okay.
I want to get on Iraq here again for a couple minutes. Many people feel this war is a crime against humanity. The aim of Bush's military invasion is not Iraqi freedom, but the global power. I think his action is driven more by revenge and retaliation, gaining a type of, you'd call it geopolitical advantage. I don't really think it's effective to any terrorism, bringing those out there responsible to justice. The Bush administration is also motivated to wage war in the region by their interest in Middle Eastern and Central Asian oil. The administration has close ties to the gas and oil energy industries, which are no secret to the public.
A little too cozy for me.
Wars in the space of 6 months, two bloody occupations have followed. No exit strategies under consideration in either Afghanistan or Iraq.
None whatsoever.
The 2004 elections, Guy, are pivotal to save our country and the world.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really couldn't. You know, people, we say that, and I think people think we're kidding. We're not kidding. Folks, this is your life you're talking about. This is the life of our country you're talking about. This election, you better get your buns out to the polls.
The Bush administration and the congressional Republicans are very vulnerable. Their defeat is of the greatest importance for the future of our country. If you want more of the same, you have to vote Bush. But for all the people that are listening today, Guy, I'm just going to go on the assumption that many of them are not for Bush, and they probably agree with a lot of the statement I just made.
Oh, yeah, you can be sure of that. And, of course, there's some people listening that that don't agree with you, and we'll probably have a couple more of those before the day's over. But we let them on. We let them talk.
Well, to get this full statement, Guy, and listeners should go to www.cpusa.org because just about every word of the statement I just made is from the Communist Party National Board. So these listeners out here go along with just about everything I said right now. They just showing their true colors and I don't want to hear any more about those people being true Americans.
Which people are you talking about? See, there you have another clown, like we like to talk about. What can a guy like that do except call in and sabotage you? You know, you makes a statement that's wholly untrue and then hangs up. That's the courage of our right-wing callers. That's the courage they show. Don't have the guts to call in and challenge us on the truth we talk about. No, 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 no. No, we wouldn't want to do that. We have to make a quick hit and run. That shows you exactly what I've been talking about all along. These people have no morals. They have no scruples. And frankly, the people that support them have no brains. Hate to say it that way, but that's how it is. We have, who do we have here? We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. I've got to tell you, listening to your show in the afternoons, once a week at least, is probably the highlight of my week. I really appreciate what you're doing very much. And I might just add incidentally that I have been a registered Republican my entire life. So that makes no sense, I'm sure, but one thing I'd like for you to do is maybe get back on this Rush Limbaugh thing, because I don't know of anybody that I've ever encountered my entire life that aggravates me as much as this guy does. I think he is mentally deranged. He is definitely harmful to the country. With the stuff that he's been putting out for the last 12 or 15 years and the animosity that he's been stirring up between these political parties, I wonder if it'll ever be possible for these people to ever sit down together and effectively work out solutions to our problems.
I wonder. I do.
And, I just, this man is a sick man, and unfortunately he's got a number of copycats falling behind him now. But you know, I really, if he got hit by a bus tomorrow, I'm afraid I'd have to be standing up and cheering, because this man makes me physically sick.
Well, as high as he's been on that OxyContin, he's going to have to beware about walking down the street. He might walk out in front of a bus. You never know.
We can only hope.
You know, you get caught in the Denny's parking lot buying illegal prescription drugs, or pain medication, as Mr. Limbaugh likes to say. You know, he's squealed louder than anybody I think I've ever heard that has been in trouble for something like that. More two-faced and hypocritical than anybody I think I've ever heard. What's good for him is not good for anybody else that gets caught with a bunch of OxyContin. But I guess that's another story. Hey, anyway, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, guy. Keep up the good work.
Do appreciate it.
Right, bye.
We've got Glenda and Benita. Glenda, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Great.
First-time caller, but a long-time listener. Met you last week at the Collier County Democratic Rally.
Oh, wasn't that great?
I don't know if you remember or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to touch on, I won't keep you long. I know you got other calls coming in. But a few callers back, I was listening to the lady, and she was very sweet, and she wanted to thank your supporters and your sponsors. And one thing I have to admit, as a longtime listener, didn't know for a long time, that there aren't a lot of sponsors for Democratic talk radio shows, that it is, and yours, I found out, is solely sponsored by people like myself who listen. And I just want to make sure, you know, I don't hear you, you know, maybe I'm tuning it out or something, but I found it out from the website, actually. So I think it's important that the listeners know that we need to keep this show on, and the only way we're going to do it is if we send you money. I'm a supporter now, but I have to admit, for a long time, I didn't know it.
Ah.
So, I know, you know, it's not a great thing to do, but I mean, I feel like it's my responsibility to tell the people that they need to send in those checks, no matter how much, to keep your show on the air, because we need it, especially in this next year.
Well, thank you so much for
that.
I do appreciate it.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Glenda. Bye-bye. So glad to have you with us. We've got a gentleman right now. Not sure. I'm going to take a chance here. We got Mike in South Carolina.
That'd be North Carolina.
I thought so. Mike, how are you?
Excellent. Great show today. Every minute of it.
Everybody who's listening for the first time or second time, this is our former, and in the hearts of many still, our co-host of the show who has moved up north to North Carolina. And, geez, Mike, we miss you.
Well, and I definitely miss being on the show. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, though, it sounded really, really good, and I think the cardboard cut out of me is probably doing better than I am. I did.
I sent Mike an email that I missed him, and I was going to put a cardboard cut out in his chair. And we had a little repartee about that, but Mike was dead wrong. Anyway.
I like being wrong, though. It's you know, it suits me. But, you know, there's been so many issues, though. I mean, you know what's been actually crossing my mind? Remember when we were back in, you were on the Naples station? Remember,
yes.
There were some callers that called about weapons of mass destruction all the time and gave very detailed, long-winded threat analysis of Saddam Hussein and Iraq and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Have they ever called back and said how wrong they were?
You know, Michael, you got to put yourself on your side of that. Could you do it? I mean, could you admit that you were a raving fool?
Yes, I could, but that's only because I get called on it a lot. But, I mean, you know, that's just me. But no, I have they ever called back and said, hey, you know what, maybe you were right?
No.
They haven't done that, have they?
Of course not. Of course not.
And another thing that just came up to, you know, that's been blowing my mind was that ad with the firefighters, and they were actors and all that, with Bush. I mean, that's so terrible that apparently, what was it, yesterday, I think, the International or American Firefighters Union is now back in Kerry.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was such a huge surprise, but, I mean, I think one thing that this shows you is all the talk since 9/11 about Homeland Security and first responders and all that, all of that is basically lip service because they're all unfunded mandates. And remember back in the 80s, Newt Gingrich and all those congressional Republicans railing away on unfunded mandates on C-SPAN. Remember
that? Yes. Oh, yes.
And they are now the masters of unfunded mandates. No Child Left Behind, do it yourself. Homeland Security, do it yourself. I don't understand how Republicans, maybe they just know that already. A lot of the callers that call in, they just don't care. Could that be it?
You know, you can't not care, can you? I mean, can't you go get yourself educated enough to find out the truth on these? This is just what kills me.
No, but the truth doesn't matter to them. This is my point. I mean, if you're thinking from a me versus a we standpoint, you know, whether you think you're the only individual in the universe and everything revolves around you, or the fact that you're part of the human race and you're part of families and cities and states and the human race, essentially, and the ones that go with the me are really not going to care.
Well, you're
and I
right.
Think they call themselves the Republicans. They say they care, but the fact is they really don't care. They think it's their money when the fact is the system was set up to give them the opportunity to make money in the first place. They don't. They're just
taking my money and giving it to those welfare people.
Well, they're the leeches, though. That's the kicker. They're the leeches. They're the one that they want to be free. They want to be free to exploit. I mean, that's really their game. And since we don't start from a level playing field, that kind of freedom doesn't really count.
You know, you couldn't be more right. You know, they've taken the opportunity for 3 years now to do massive exploitation, and they've gotten all the photo ops that they possibly could out of all these things. And yet, like when you talk about unfunded mandates, oh, there's plenty of pictures of them signing these bills and so forth, but there's no pictures of them doing the dirty work behind the scenes saying, oh, no, sorry, there's no money.
Of course. Well, and see, that's the kick. This is I figured out their game, actually, and I think everyone figured this out at one point. But, you know, they cut the revenue, basically, with the tax cuts.
Sure.
And they shoot the spending up. And then as soon as 2004 or 2005 runs around, if he manages to steal another election, which I don't honestly think they will give up the White House, I believe they're willing to do anything.
I hope you're wrong, my friend.
I hope I'm wrong, too, but maybe I am. But I could see them pulling something where a state legislature goes against the voters in the state and sends different sort of electors. Mm. I could see that happening.
Oh,
Texas, Florida is a good example. But, you know, you've got this issue where they're going to be able to say, look, we just don't have the money. We'd love to do it, but we don't have the money. And that's it. It's withering on the vine. It's crowd out.
Bankrupt every possible thing in government they can. They want to starve the government.
Exactly. And what they've proven, though, in the process of this, is that trickle-down doesn't work.
Never did.
It never did work, but they've proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt that trickle-down is a lie.
Absolutely.
I mean, all that's done is enrich those that are already rich, and everybody else is getting reamed.
Yeah, and the only thing is, a lot of those people that are getting reamed are sitting there going, give those tax cuts to those wealthy people. Maybe someday we'll be wealthy, too.
But the odds are they won't be.
That's right.
You know, this is back to the media again. Once again, back to the corporate-controlled media, even if it isn't owned by a right-wing conservative, they are completely beholden to their advertisers.
Yep.
And their advertisers don't want anyone scared. Their advertisers want the status quo to remain. And the status quo is getting us, well, frankly, nowhere.
Well, we're going to do our best to keep that from happening this time. We're going to fight the fight.
Hey, I met a guy in my new life up here that had voted for Clinton twice. Older guy, probably in his 50s, and he voted for Bush last time around.
Ooh.
And I was talking to him, just met him, and he said, you know what, I'm anybody but Bush now. And mainly it was the war. The war was the kicker. And I don't think that if anybody gives it any thought and looks at the evidence that was presented and looks at the lack of any real threat from Iraq, I don't think they'll vote for him. I really don't.
I think
unless they're one of those me people, then they don't care.
I think you're right. Mike, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. It's been a great show.
Say hello to your lovely bride.
We'll do so. And she says hi, too.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to get another call in before news at the top of the hour. We've got Eleanor in Bonita Springs. Eleanor, welcome to the program.
Oh my, thank you so much. I'm so nervous. I've been sitting here thinking of something to say, and it's taken me. I just wanted to call and tell you that you are such a refreshing breath of fresh air. It is remarkable.
Can you speak up a little?
Yes, I will do my best. I have just been referred to you by a gentleman friend of mine who tells me of your program, and I could not believe it. I don't even listen to the radio anymore, and he tells me that you are a proud Democrat, and I did not think that we had any more proud Democrats.
Well, we have a lot of proud Democrats.
Well, that's wonderful, sir, wonderful. How long have you been on the air?
Oh, I don't know, about 15, 16 months, something like that.
Wow. It is glorious. I've listened to your program today, and frankly, sir, it is uplifting. It has uplifted my spirit. To hear someone proclaim themselves as the champion of the undertrodden, the poor, is remarkable in this day of hate and guile.
Well, Elner, I want to get one more call in for the top of the hour. I thank you for your call very, very much. We got Mrs. Brown in Michigan, and we got a couple of minutes for the top of the hour. Go ahead, Mrs. Brown.
Yeah, hi, Guy.
Glad to have you with us.
I was told to call you. They said I could say what I had to say.
You sure can.
I'm tired of watching my husband cry. We have a child in Iraq right now. He's in Baghdad. He's standing in front of the Abu Ghraib prison. About 21 years old, he's holding an M16 in his hand, and he's scared to death. This morning we got an email from him that the prison's being bombarded by mortar rounds. He promised me he'd wear his helmet, keep his vest on. Well, you were talking about people who hit and run.
I cannot imagine the agony and angst you must be going through.
Just waking up in the morning and wondering if he's going to be alive the next day. My husband went out to the store today. He went to the store to pick up some things from the store. And we live in a fairly GOP area, small town in Michigan. He's driving to the store, and we have his military picture on our car, and he's a nice kid. He's a reservist. We have the picture in the car, and we have some peace symbols on the car. And my husband, who's already crying every day, has people come up in their trucks and tailgate him and scream at him at the top of their lungs. And we're a military family, and our kid's being mortared. And what kind of people are these? Where's the support? If these people support the troops and the military families, they can stop kicking in the side of my car, and they can stop yelling at us, and they can start supporting us, and they can vote Bush out.
Can I get you to hang on until the top of the after the
I'm
top
sorry.
Of the hour? Would you hang on until the,
sure.
after the top of the hour?
I'm just crying.
We have to break for news. I want you to stay with us. Will you please?
Sure.
You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK.
The Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Bombing arrests on the eve of the Spanish elections. I'm Joan Bennett. Spanish government not ruling out anyone in connection with Thursday's bombings on the Madrid rail system, despite arrests today. ABC's Linda Alvin at the foreign desk.
Five people have been arrested, including three Moroccans, the Spanish interior minister says could have links to Moroccan extremists. Two more suspects with Indian passports are also in custody. The arrests come in connection with a cell phone that was found in an explosives-packed gym bag found on one of the bomb trains.
A Moroccan security team will reportedly travel to Spain in light of the arrests of three Moroccan citizens. About 20 people rallied on the mall in Washington today in support of U.S. troops on duty in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Blue Star Mothers is a group chartered by Congress in 1942 to promote patriotism, spokeswoman Kathleen Meisner.
I think there ought to be somebody every week doing something to let our boys over there know that they are being supported at home. Because I don't want this to turn out to be like another Vietnam where they come home and they're not wanted.
Roadside bomb killed two American soldiers and wounded three others in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit today. Senator John Kerry, President Bush's likely opponent in November, has called for monthly debates for the two to elevate the tenor of the campaign, which started off in attack mode.
Now it's time for George Bush and me to offer the American people a campaign that honors the best in America.
Kerry making his pitch in Quincy, Illinois, a town famous for hosting the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Today's standoff is over in East Tennessee. Police say a teenager who opened fire on them yesterday, killing a sheriff's deputy, was found dead at his home today, apparently of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Authorities were called to the house to check on a domestic dispute. They say the 16-year-old had apparently attacked his mother with a pipe. She escaped to a neighbor's house. This is ABC News.
When a photo from an ordinary printer gets wet, it might sound like this.
Oh, baby, I like the way you move.
Faded.
Oh, baby,
watered down.
I like the way you move.
And washed up. But use an Epson All-in-One, and you'll get something entirely different.
What's he talking about?
I'm talking about this.
Oh, baby, baby, I like the way you move.
You see, with Epson's exclusive DuraBright Ace, you'll get pictures that resist damage from water. So even when wet, they're a hard act to follow.
I could have done that.
Right. For more information about brilliance that lasts, visit Epson.com.
See the full line of DuraBright printers, including the Epson Stylus CX 5400 and 6400 all-in-ones with water-resistant ink starting at $129 after a $20 mail-in rebate at Micro Center, the ultimate computer store.
Monday on Wink News This Morning.
At 6:13, the American art of quilting. Then, what's the best way to file your taxes? And a new computer could need a tax break.
Monday on Wink News This Morning.
Monday, only on Wink News at 5:30. Are you looking for the best vehicle for your money? We'll put some popular vehicles through some everyday tests, like braking on wet pavement, handling, and even a bumper basher test. Find out which one tops our best of the best list. Monday, only on Wink News.
The first thing you do, the first chance you get, make the first thing you watch. Wink News This Morning. Live on scene reports. Real-time traffic, weather every 8 minutes, and the best morning news team around. Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, Marisa Holmes. Wink News This Morning, first for you.
And coming up in the next news break, perhaps the single most important thing you can do to help your child learn when back in school. Hey, better yet, we'll tell you right now. The better your child can see in school, the easier your child can learn in school. Vision screenings are good, but they can't detect many vision problems that interfere with learning. So make sure your child has a comprehensive eye exam for back in school.
A message from the American Optometric Association.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. It's been a lively and interesting show today. Lest you feel that you've got real problems in this world right now, yeah, gasoline's closing in on $2 a gallon, and many things in the grocery store, the prices are going up. You may have trouble paying your electric bill this month. Your life isn't going the way you want it to go. You could have worse problems. You could have much worse problems. And I want to go back to Mrs. Brown in Michigan. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, glad to have you back with us. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason or explanation for people treating you that way. For some reason, I don't seem to hear anything coming from the other side that people are threatened and their cars bashed and windows bashed and shot at in some cases and all that. I don't seem to hear any of that coming from the left.
They've tried to run me off the road about four or five times because of my bumper stickers, which all it says is peace is patriotic, no war. bring my son home now. And I have his picture on there. He's in Baghdad. He's in one of the top three worst places you could possibly be, and he's going to be there for a year.
Yeah.
And the emails I'm getting are that the mortar rounds are coming in at him, and these people, could they just think for 1 second when they look at those stickers on my car that maybe we're a military family and maybe the kids standing over there, these people are not who attack us and call us names, and I've been screamed at. They are not patriots.
No.
They do not support the troops. They're chest thumpers. They're chest thumping out there, and they're sitting in their chairs. They're warmongers sitting very comfortably. They're comfortable cowards. They have no clue. Military families speak out. I joined them. And there's a lot of us in the military, a lot of us military families who are furious. We're so angry, you have no idea. We're furious because we know why this whole thing started. It's a fraud, just like Ted Kennedy said.
Yeah.
And he's standing over there, and he knows it's a fraud. He was scared not to go. He's just a reservist, but he was scared not to go. So he went. We tried to talk him out of it, but he went. So he's there, okay? And that, I mean, I can't change anything. But I have to wake up in the morning, and I have to say, oh, good. I have to go through the whole day wondering if he's going to die or be wounded. And then at night, we go to sleep and think, well, good, we got through today. He's not dead. He hasn't had his legs blown off. We wonder if somebody's going to hold his hand if something does happen to him. Is somebody going to be there with him? Is somebody going to hold his hand? Is somebody going to tell him they love him or that we love him if anything happens to him? That's what we go through every damned day. And these people, you know, they just don't have anybody over there. They don't understand. And they're not living in truth. They're living in some kind of abstract idea about what's going on.
Nobody could understand except someone that's in your situation. Nobody could.
Well, I know that people on the left are good-hearted. They're the best. But believe me, these warmongers out there, they could care less.
Yeah.
They'll attack military families. They attack us when we're saying we're against this. They're attacking military families with kids in Baghdad.
Yeah, support our troops. Some support.
Yeah, no support. No support at all. Nothing. So thank you for your show. And hi to the people at the Democratic Underground who told me to call you because I really needed to. And at least they're supportive. They're there.
We're here for you.
That's my friends. You know, at this point now, those are my friends.
We're here for you, and you might take solace in knowing that there are millions of people whose hearts are with you.
I'm begging everybody who's sitting on the fence, get Bush out of office and get him out, because he should be out now. He should be impeached. These kids, I can't, you know, who am I supposed to sue? Who am I supposed to fight? I'd love to sue the whole U.S. government for sending him over there. And those kids mean nothing to Bush or any of those guys. They don't. My kid means nothing to them.
Yeah.
So thank you for your show.
I thank you so much for your call.
All right.
Our thoughts are with you.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye now. What do you say after that? What do you say? There's times when there's nothing you can say. How would you relieve the day-to-day agony in that woman's life? How could you live with yourself knowing that you'd sent these people over there on the basis of a lie? How could you? How could you look in the mirror in the morning? How could you? How could you go before the American public, say you support the troops and you want 4 more years in office? I betrayed the American people in the worst possible way about sending their young troops into battle without a valid reason, and I've lied to every one of you to do it. But give me 4 more years? I don't think so. I want to thank Bill Berkowitz for something I want to read to you now. It'll just take me a couple of minutes, and I want you to hear this. Came off his website, Working for Change. Were you there when they were wounded in Iraq? Did you hear their screams and cries when the roadside bomb exploded and tore their limbs apart? Like twigs? Did you look away? Did you help clean up the mess that was their bodies? Did you know what was going on? Were you there when they brought the wounded home? Did you wait into the night at Andrews Air Force Base? Did the Pentagon tell you your son was wounded? Did they allow you to be on the tarmac to greet your daughter? Did you see them carried off the plane? Did you know what was going on? Did you make the drive to the Walter Reed Army Medical Center? Did you see them carried out of the ambulances and taken to their wards? Did you visit them every day? Did you look away during physical rehab? Did you know that some of the wounded in Iraq waited for weeks and months before getting proper medical treatment? Did you know that patient loads at some facilities exceeded their capacity? Did you know what was going on? On a sunny winter morning in the nation's capital, a breezy afternoon in Atlanta, did you think about the wounded? Did you? When you dropped your kids off at the school in New Orleans, did you remember the wounded? As you watched your kids scramble after the ball at soccer practice in Oakland, did the wounded enter your mind? Around the water cooler in your Chicago offices, are you and your coworkers talking about the wounded? Do you know what's going on? Do you? Support the troops indeed. Bring them home. Bring them home. We're going to go to Jalinda in California. Jalinda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, that's a really sad thing for Mary. I just really feel bad for her.
I can't imagine.
I know. Well, we had our troops that we were sending care packages to. You probably knew about that.
Oh, yes.
And they all made it through. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. They were sent back to Germany where they were going to train for a couple of more weeks and then come home for a month leave in stateside. And they got their leave canceled. They're going to Afghanistan. So I guess they're going to be out. They're going to be the ones that are going to try to find bin Laden so that our little friend can thump his chest and say, I caught him, I caught him, I caught him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of along the same line, only not... Her son's just now getting started, but these guys are on their second round. They're on round two now. And so that's one thing. And then the Kerry flip-flop thing that they're going to go after him on. I just think that so many times people write about very long, flowery reasons, you know, why this is not so and that is. The easiest way I found to describe this is that if... You know, they say Bush is such a decisive leader.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't waver. He is decisive, and he goes. Well, there's always a head lemming that heads them all off the cliff, and the head lemming sees that cliff before anybody else, and he just keeps on going, and everybody just follows right along. So David Bossie calls him our CEO, America's CEO. Well, he's dragging his country down just like he dragged all of his businesses down because he's so rigid. He's not willing to see that he's made a mistake and change tack. So the flip-flop accusation against Kerry could actually be seen as positive because at least he has enough sense to see that something that he voted on in 1995 with X amount of information that's totally different now because they tell us 911 changed everything. So a vote he made in 1995 pre-9/11, why on earth would he be expected to say, oh, yeah, I stand behind that vote. I'd vote the same way because he's got sense enough to say things are different, and I don't agree with what I agreed with back then. But Bush is so single-minded, focused on destruction, he will never change his mind even when he's wrong. I mean, we know that. We've seen that for days and years. So being called a flip-flop, I think, is actually a good thing because it shows that he's at least got enough sense to realize that things change.
Yes, it shows you can think. It's
exactly.
Bush so far hadn't shown me he knows anything. You know, I heard one of my favorite people, Mario Cuomo, recently talking about Bush.
Yeah.
And you know, In the interview, he talked about how in the interview with Russert, Bush actually said, and he did say this, yes, we were probably wrong about weapons of mass destruction, but no, we weren't wrong to go to war because he was a very bad person, and I'm quoting now. Now he said this a year after the war, knowing that we lost about 1,000 or so, when it comes down to it, of our men and women. And also he knew that we've killed over 10,000 innocent Iraqis and have lost the respect of nearly the entire world. He knew all of that. And sat there and still said that he would do it again. Now, he either lied.
He would do it again.
He either lied or made the most terrible mistake at any president ever to hold that office. And the hard thing for him is that he can't admit that he made a huge mistake, because if he did, the American people couldn't possibly vote for him again.
Well, you see, Guy, he can be both. He can be wrong, and he can also be determined to keep doing it because he's not bright enough to see the difference.
Well.
And regarding the casualties, if they go to a site where there's been one of those IEDs exploded and several people are badly injured, if they have a pulse when they take them away and they die 2 hours later in the hospital, they're not considered killed. They're not considered a war casualty.
You're exactly right, Gina. I'm glad you brought that up, because many are...
The total of 5, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is now, doesn't include several hundred who have died hours later, minutes later, days later. They didn't die of scarlet fever.
My sources tell me that it's twice as high as they're actually saying it is.
It's got to be, because you don't have four guys die and one guy miraculously survive.
Right.
He was wounded when he was taken away. I'm sure some of them do miraculously survive, but more often than not, they make it back to Germany and they die, or they die en route, and their family gets the little letter and the special commendation.
And let's make sure people understand what we're saying right here. If you're still alive when you're found on the battlefield and you're taken to the hospital and you die later, you are not counted in that 550 some that's being reported right now.
No.
Did you know that, people?
Six people were killed in an IED and there were two survivors. Well, both those survivors died the next day. They still say six people were killed.
Exactly.
Those other two, well, they're just like the Monty Python. They're just sleeping, you know. They ignore them.
Yeah.
They don't matter except to their parents.
Jalinda, I'd like to thank you so much for your call.
Well, take care, Guy, and keep fighting.
We will.
Okay,
we will. Thank you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Locally, if you're one of those right-wingers and you want to defend Mr. Bush today, we welcome that. 479-5540. 479-5540. We'd like to go to Bob in Cape Coral. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing there, Guy?
Good.
I'm just really, thank God for you. I tell you, I'm a truck driver, and I travel all around the country, and there's just you and maybe one other liberal talk show host out there in this whole country. I'm serious about that.
Well, you got a point.
And you listen to Rush Limbaugh and all those other ones talking about the media, the liberal media conspiracy, and I'm like, how could you say that when all you hear on the radio is right-wing conservative talk show hosts? So if anybody controls the media, it's the conservatives.
Yep.
And basically what I wanted to talk to you about, Guy, is what do you think about what's going on with the censorship with the Clear Channel and Clear Channel buying up all these radio stations and controlling what music can be played on radio stations, where music fans are afraid to criticize, or anybody's afraid to criticize them because they'll just take them off the air. What do you think about that censorship that's going on, like with Howard Stern?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's started just now. And I hope a lot of people understand about Clear Channel, for example, as many as... I'm trying to think now, and don't hold me to this, but I'm thinking back in about 1997 or so, they only owned maybe 100 stations or 150 or so. It's exploded. It's absolutely exploded. Now, we do know the people high up in that country company are Mr. Bush is beholden to them. We do know that. I believe. And I know people will take issue with what I have to say about it, but I do believe that there could well, I don't know for sure, but there could well be a massive conspiracy taking place about our airwaves across the country. I do know of several. You take Mike Malloy, for example. Mike Malloy, in my opinion, is being blackballed. I don't know if you know Mike Malloy, but Mike is a good, great broadcaster from the left. He was on WLS in Chicago. He's with the IE America Network that just folded up. And Mike hasn't gotten another job yet that I know of.
Oh, no.
Because the people, the powers that be, don't want Mike Malloy's message to be broadcast across the airwaves. They don't want it.
Well, that's amazing, because, you know, I am a Howard Stern fan, I admit it, and he was a Bush supporter very much
on
9/11. And when he started to go a little against Bush is when all of a sudden all this Clear Channel coming up and all the changes happened. And it just gets frustrating to me is that if you say anything against the war, you're anti-American. You're not supporting our troops. He's gotten a monopoly on 9/11, and it's amazing how when I'm out there on the road, I'm afraid at a truck stop to say I'm against the war because the truck drivers are listening to the Limbaughs and the Hannitys of the world, and they're all over you. They're like, well, you don't support our troops. You're anti-American. No, I tell them, I do support our troops. That is why I want them home.
Sure. It's just absolutely maddening. It really is. We try and make inroads. The people on the right will say, well, nobody wants to hear the message from the left. That's not true. That is not true. It's hard to make inroads into the right-wing-owned media. It is. It's tough.
And when did liberal become such a dirty word? Why would Kerry run away from being a liberal? I don't understand that. What is wrong with being a liberal?
There's nothing wrong with being a liberal. Nothing wrong with all. They've demonized it. A lot of that went back with Lee Atwater during the early days of Reagan and Bush 1 and Lee Atwater. And let's not forget our good friend Newt Gingrich. Newt came out with those talking points and beat people over the head with them and passed them around Congress. These are the words you will use to describe these people now, and we'll make liberal a dirty word. It's not a dirty word.
Well, it's not a dirty word at all. But what I would like to see from Kerry is to say, I am a liberal. I am proud of being a liberal. I'm proud of being for the people, the middle-class people of this country. Don't say it as a negative word. Why doesn't he, grasp it and run with it? You think that he would lose the election because of that?
No, I don't think so. And I think John Kerry's got more guts than a lot of people give him credit for. And I've said before on the program today that I was proud of him the other day when they went to him and, said, the Republicans are really, really hollering about what you said about being liars and crooks. He said, I'm not apologizing. So I think that's a good first step. I was glad to hear him say that.
And I was also glad. I agree with the woman, the previous caller, about the flip-flopping. I'm glad we have a potential president that will listen and change his views and be open to realizing the mistakes are made. If he wanted to cut back on CIA back in '95, well, maybe that at the time maybe that was a good thing to do.
It absolutely was. And I tell you what, if they're going to attack John Kerry, they've bitten off more than they can chew. They really have, because that guy's record is great. And they're trying to paint him as this flaming left-wing liberal when it's simply not true. And they're trying to paint him as this guy who has voted against every military bill that's come up. That's not true. So we've got a lot to say in future programs about that. But John Kerry's not going to be a guy that's going to lay down for these people. He's not going to do like Al Gore did in some cases. He's not going to do like Mike Dukakis did in some cases and say, and just keep quiet on the issue. This guy's got fire in his eyes, and he will fight.
That's good. And it's good that he should run on his record and be proud of his record and not try to shy away from it. And I think he will be our next president. I'm very sure of that, because what Bush... He's acting like he has a mandate in this country, and the people can see that, and they will. I know I'm going to be more energetic towards this election. I was a little lackadaisical in 2000. I admit it, and we lost by 500 votes in here in Florida, which we didn't lose. Really, I don't believe that. But
no.
Now I'm going to be. I'm definitely going to be more energetic. I'm going to be more supportive of Kerry, and I don't think Bush is going to get even 42% of the vote this time.
I think he's toast. I absolutely think he's toast. I am so confident about this election. We're going to talk a lot about it in the next few weeks. And hey, Bob, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it very much. Bush has started the negative ads on Kerry already. And an incumbent president is in big trouble. And believe me, his handlers, Rove and Andy Card and all those people, they know he's in trouble. or he wouldn't have started this negative campaign already. And, you know, if you've been in office for 3 years as the President of the United States, you should be able to start your whole campaign by saying to the voters that they should give you another 4 years because of what a great job you've done. That's the only way you deserve to get reelected. You know, what can Bush say? Think about that for a minute. What can he say? His record is almost a 100% total failure. You know, go back and use the old Ronald Reagan litmus test. Are you better off now than you were when Bush came into office? Are you? You know, unless you're one of the fortunate ones who are very rich. I didn't say lucky, I said fortunate. You are not better off. And actually, Bush's negativism is good for the Democrats. It sounded like Bush there when I was talking. Bush is looking more and more like a loser who's trying to climb out of the hole he's dug for himself. And he really does begin to really, really reek as being a loser. The Clinton administration left office having had 22 million new jobs created on their watch. Bush's administration has lost about 3 million jobs. Bush started with the largest surplus in history. Now we have the largest deficit in history. When Clinton was in office, America was still the darling of the entire world. Now we're hated by former friends. Bush is in trouble. He spent over $4 million on commercials last week, and he went down in the polls after blowing $4 million. He hasn't taken responsibility. This from the party of personal responsibility. He hasn't taken responsibility for any of his failures, and his failures are many. He says he was stuck with a recession, when the truth is that the recession began of March in 2001 and ended in November of 2001. Now he's trying to convince people that the recession has lasted 3 years and it's Clinton's fault. You've heard that a lot lately, haven't you? All the right-wing controlled media is reporting that the economy is recovering, and the economy is strong, and growth is good. Oh, you hear that every day, pounded into by all the right-wing talk show hosts. You hear it on the news at night. You hear it on Fox. There's people starving to death in China, you know. But yet China's experiencing 8% growth. Does that correlate, does it, between growth and things being good in the country? There's a huge difference between a technically good economy, which is production, distribution, and consumption of goods, and whether or not your people are doing well. The economy is only good if it's good by all the economic standards. 15 million people in this country are out of work or working part-time or have quit looking for work. Wages are pathetic, going up only very slightly. How much is your health care bill going up this year? How much is your gasoline bill going up? How much is your housing cost going up? Middle class is in trouble, folks. Big trouble. It's a good economy, all right. You've got people working for you in your plants overseas at 10 cents on the dollar what you have to pay in this country, and so you're raking in the money. And for you, this is a good economy. And you've shed all your health care costs, too, by farming out all your work overseas. And if you're a big corporation, this is a terrific economy. And also, it's a good economy if you've got lots of shares in those big corporations. Do you have lots of shares in those corporations? And when you read in the newspaper that the economy is terrific, ask yourself, terrific for whom? Is it terrific for you? It's certainly not good for 140 million American workers right now that are worried about their jobs being shipped out of this country. You know, I heard Mario Cuomo say the other day that Bush needs tools to build a great America. And Bush's tool, and I quote Mario saying, Bush's tool is the wedge, which is the simplest tool known to mankind. He went on to say Bush says he's going to reduce everybody's taxes and that will make the economy strong, but we now know that that's total BS. 40% of that $1 trillion tax cut goes to the top 2% of the people. That's less than 2 million people. What did that $1 trillion do for the economy? Tell me, what did it do? Was it reinvested? Did they give the money to that top 2% and they spent it in the economy on consumable goods? No, they didn't spend it. You know, if Bush really wanted to help the economy, he should have given all the tax cut to the middle class, the people that would spend the money. Give it to the 140 million people who would spend it because they have to. Give it to the poor who would spend it because they have to. You know, going back to what Mario Cuomo said, the economy is 70% consumption. We're not short of investor money in this country. We've got plenty of investor money. You can find investor money anytime you need it. We're short of spending money in the marketplace. People are holding back on their spending, and that's the middle class and lower class people that are holding back on their spending because they have to. Is the Bush administration going to New York to exploit 9/11? Well, they were. They thought it would be a great idea to go there and stand on the backs of 3,000 dead people that died in those Twin Towers and exploit the American people by saying, oh, we're the patriots. You know, you don't put a good old Tom DeLay in charge if you're not planning to exploit 9/11, and that's exactly what they were planning. But it's going to backfire on them in a big way. There's a lot of people in New York that don't like Mr. Bush and his administration one bit, and they're going to make their presence well known when that convention comes around, you mark my word. I think 9/11, if he wants to run on his record, if he wants to throw 9/11 at you every day, go ahead and do that, Mr. Bush. I wish you would. It's not as big a problem as the economy, but it's a big, big, big problem. And it's starting to sink in that Iraq is a war we didn't need, and we went to it on many, many, many false assumptions put out by Mr. Bush and his crony. You know, I mentioned earlier that in that interview, that famous interview that with Russert, Bush actually said, yes, we were probably wrong about weapons of mass destruction, but no, we weren't wrong to go to war because he's a bad person. And we've lost all those people, and the Iraqis have lost 10,000 innocent people. And this guy thinks he deserves another 4 years. I'm sorry. I don't think so. We've got Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. Just a few points. Republicans, they dominate the radio media, and they demonize the rest of the media by calling them elite media. And it goes on every day, and, you know, all of this radio talk shows that they have.
Oh yeah.
You know, you know, a lot of the people that don't agree with the president, don't agree with this, what they're saying, I think that you know, Democrats should boycott all the products that these people are advertising you know, the people that are advertising those programs. Going back, you know, the lady that called from Michigan. You know, if Mr. Bush thought that war was so right and he really cares about those soldiers out there, why does he keep some of the money from the a refund and buy some vests and reinforce some Humvees, because that's where our guys are getting killed? Why does he use that for that and allows them to get killed? So it's not only that he went over there and he, in a way that was disingenuous, but he's not correcting the problem that is present, and he could easily by just cutting down some of the tax refunds that he has and buying vests for the soldiers. You know, I heard, this is the last point, I heard that the government, they made a decision not to allow the votes from overseas to count in this election, and I wonder why. I wonder if it will show that perhaps the soldiers are not with the Republican president as they claim to be.
I think I've got a rude awakening coming from the soldiers and from the military families. I think you're going to see an entirely different take on the next election from the military.
They won't accept their votes. They won't accept any votes coming from overseas in the next election, I understand, presidential election.
Well, they went about trying to get the military to vote after the election was over the last time and send them in, so it'll be interesting to see what they do this time.
Okay.
Juan, I thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it. As always, you're right on the money. Thank you. We have got, who do we have? We got Jim in Bonita. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Gee, I'm glad I found you on my Walkman a couple of weeks ago. I didn't think anyone like you existed. I'm a child of the 60s. I still have a scar on my head from May Day of 1968. And I was supporting our troops back then, and I've been a lifelong Democrat. And in the last election, Al Gore didn't really turn me on. There was just something about him that I couldn't get enthusiastic about. And I thought George Bush was just an idiot that would be a do-nothing president if he got elected, so I didn't see him as the threat that we now know he's become. So I wasn't going to vote. And at the last minute, I decided to, and when I got into the booth, I pulled the lever for Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm.
And what a mistake that turned out to be on my part. Because in theory, I agree with almost everything Nader stands for. But he stole the election from the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so sorry that he's thrown his hat in the ring this time. Because I like Ralph Nader. And I really believe that when he ran the last time, he ran on principles. And this time, he's running on ego. And I don't know what his reason is. A psychiatrist would have to tell you that.
I wonder that myself. I really do. You know, I completely agree with you on your take on that. I'm right there with you on that.
And the bad thing about it is, he may only get 3-5%. But because we have this silly electoral college system instead of a popular vote, even though 3 or 5% may not make a difference in total, in a key state, it could turn the election around. Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, there's like 3 states that might determine the election. And I wish he wasn't running. And I hope he doesn't get on enough ballots. You know, if he doesn't get on enough ballots, maybe it'll force him just to withdraw his name.
I don't think he will get on enough ballots. I really don't. I think a lot of people feel just exactly the way you do, too. I used to admire Ralph Nader, but right now I'm having a real problem with him. I really am. I think the ego thing you mentioned is right on the money. I really do.
You know, I've never been a hateful person. In a way, I didn't really hate Nixon. I mean, I disliked him. But I admired a few things about him.
Sure.
You know, some of his foreign policy, opening up China.
He was a great statesman.
Yeah, there was a few things about him likable. But this guy we've got now, I mean, you know, every day you pick up the paper, buried on page 8 or 9, is the billions that Halliburton has stolen from our troops.
Oh, yeah.
And right next to that, this was in the Naples paper just this morning. In an article next to that was, I forgot the gentleman's name, but the fellow that was the Bush front man for this prescription drug issue, how he lied.
McClellan.
Yeah. He had a memo from the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Telling him to lie.
Well, not only that, but, you know, you just take a look at this stuff. It's piling up. It's so deep that it's becoming comical that anybody could back this guy anymore. You know, you heard this week about the budget director who was threatened to be fired. This was Bush's budget director. When they came out with the budget for 2005, they were going to include the cost of the war in it and the Medicare cost, and they softballed it. They had it totally underestimated, and their budget director said, no, it's going to be $500-some billion. They'd missed it by $150 billion, and he said, you're wrong, and this is not what I said. And they said, keep your mouth shut or you're fired.
Yeah. You know, speaking of getting fired, I worked for a guy who, he was a draft dodger during Vietnam. He went to Canada. He works for Habitat Humanity, you know. He's an intelligent guy, and when I go into the office, which fortunately isn't all day every day, he's got Rush Limbaugh on the radio. He's got all these right-wing wackos on the radio, and I can't believe it. You know, and I have to listen to this, and the only benefit is, maybe for a guy like me, it's gotten me roused again.
Yeah.
You know, where I was gotten so lackadaisical the last few years, I'm now roused again, and hopefully this is going to happen to a lot of other people.
You better believe it's going to happen to a lot of people.
Either like, get out and vote, and get rid of this guy.
I see it every day. Hey, thanks so much for your call. I do appreciate it. Going back to this guy that got fired, Richard Foster, chief actuary for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, which produced a $551 billion estimate, told colleagues last June that he'd be fired if he revealed numbers relating to the higher estimate and told the truth. And because Bush was trying to get this through, and some of his own Republican people weren't going to vote for it, so he lied and lowballed them on this thing. And some of his own Republican people, like Sue Myrick of North Carolina, representative, one of 13 Republicans, said she was very upset when she learned of the higher estimate. I think a lot of people would have reconsidered on that bill. That's what they're doing. They're lying to their own people to get things. I tell you, it's absolutely astonishing. It's astonishing the lengths they have gone through. Okay, who we got here? We got Tom in Spring Hill, Florida. Tom, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Guy. I'm just was wondering where the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats are standing in all of this. I was really proud of the presidential candidates, and people were talking about how it was great that they've really grown a spine. But I haven't seen that go over to the House and the Senate much yet. I think that, first of all, we ought to hold their feet to the fire and get them a little bit more involved in the process. It seems like if you believe the polls that, you know, on a lot of our issues that the overwhelming majority believes with us, you know, whether it's gay civil unions or whether it's, you know, paper trails for black box voting or, you know, repealing the tax cut on the rich. It seems like the, you know, maybe the Pelosi and Daschle should get together and maybe make a contract, too, with America and say, look, you know, you give us back the House and the Senate, you put Kerry in here, here's what's going to happen in the first 100 days, and really make a positive dialogue out of the campaign. I just kind of see them sitting on their hands and you know, clapping politely at some of Kerry's remarks, but they ought to be in there doing some of the heavy lifting, in my opinion.
Tom, you're right on the money. I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. The heavy lifting, exactly. You know what they need? They need a leader. Although they're leaders themselves, they need a man out in front of the party, and that's going to be John Kerry now. That's very, very clear. And John Kerry has the spine. He has the stick-to-itiveness, and he's got the toughness to overcome all this and lead these people into this election. And I think he's going to show them a shining example of a Democrat that's willing to roll up his sleeves and slug it out with these people toe-to-toe.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on Kerry. I mean, he's you know, been really amazing. And, you know, I think, you know, probably that's as a result of Dean, you know, being the first one in there. But it just hasn't seemed to translate down the line, you know, very far.
Well, it's going to. And you look at, you know, we're nowhere near done yet. Our vice presidential, think of the exciting possibilities we've got for vice president right now. We've got John Edwards that might be a vice president. Graham that might be a vice president. We've got Wesley Clark. Don't forget about him. That would be we're going to have a really strong ticket.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the president. I think he's going to wipe, you know, Bush Co. Up, but I'm worried that we're not going to get the House, and I'm worried that we're not going to get the Senate, you know, if we don't start really having a good strong message now when, you know, delay, and they've even brought Lott back out, and Frist are sitting there talking about, you know, what the Republicans are going to do. But there's nobody talking about, you know, except for Kerry, what he would do if he's president. But, I mean, the real possibility exists that, you know, if he doesn't have very long coattails, particularly in the South, that we're not going to have the Senate, we're not going to have the House. And so he's going to be, you know, I won't say he's going to be ineffectual, but he's not going to get the legislation through that he really should have. And I think that they ought to really consider having a, you know, a contract too with America and really spell out the Democratic side, because, you know, the people are on our side this time.
Tom, you're absolutely right. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Well stated.
All right, bye-bye.
I agree. I agree completely. Some of these folks need to grow some spine, and I think they will. I think John Kerry's going to, you know, hey, frankly, John Kerry wasn't my choice. He wasn't my first choice. But I'm damn proud to have him as a guy carrying the banner for the Democratic Party. Damn proud. We had several we couldn't go wrong with. Couldn't go wrong with several. There's a half a dozen of those people that could have beaten Bush. I do believe that. We've got John at Marco Island. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. Love the program.
Thank you.
What's the difference between a liberal Democrat and a communist?
Oh, here we go. Bye-bye, John. You know, these guys are living back in the 60s in the Joe McCarthy era. If you can't argue with what the people have to say, if you don't have any facts, call them commies. Yeah. Call them commie redneck pinkos if you don't have any facts at your disposal. And if you're too stupid to be able to present a really good argument, call them commies. Yeah, that's what you do. I love it. I do love it. Bring it on. Pat in Boynton Beach. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I wanted to just say that I called John Kerry's headquarters this week after he made the comment about the crooks and liars, and I told the person I spoke to that I really hoped he didn't apologize for telling the truth, and the person said that he had hundreds of calls saying the same thing.
And he refused to apologize.
I would really like to see Kerry and the people who do some writing for him to take back the language and use the word liberal as to, as far as I'm concerned, it should be used. To me, a liberal is someone who holds this country to its highest and best standards and someone who believes that when its citizens are all healthy and educated, that the entire country is stronger and that all of the promises in our Constitution and Bill of Rights apply to everybody, not just the right-wing nutballs.
Pat, I've never heard that described any better. I never have. I always keep it simplistic and say the liberals are the we people and the conservatives are the me people, but you have been so eloquent in describing the difference. I really love what you said.
Well, and I think a liberal is someone who believes if you do achieve some degree of wealth and success in your life, that you have a responsibility, whether that responsibility is one that stems from your religion or your conscience, to turn around and give your fellow citizen a hand up the ladder. And I'm sick and tired of Rush Limbaugh demonizing that concept, to me, which to me should be something that would be an ideal we all aspire to.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, I go out and speak a lot to Democratic clubs and so forth, and I tell people that I stand before you as a liberal. A lot of people are liking to use the word progressive on it. No, damn it, I'm a liberal, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of that word. I'm proud of what liberal stands for.
No, I am too, and I refuse to back down. I refuse
nope.
to allow those people to demonize the highest and best concepts that this country stands for. I just won't do it. For the first time in my life, I forced myself to listen to Rush Limbaugh this week, and it made me gag.
Well, keep a good bottle of Pepto-Bismol around.
Process, the man has nothing to talk about.
No, he does not. Pat, thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot,
a
guy.
A great call, by
Bye.
The way. I'm going to try and get a couple more calls in for the end of the show. We've got Joel in Englewood. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today, guy?
Great.
I had a few questions for you about what you were saying about Bush lying to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it when the intelligence reports were given out to John Kerry and to your intelligence guy, and the guy from Florida who was running for president? What's his name?
The guy from Florida?
Yeah, you know, the guy who was running for Florida. He was in.
He was. He was running. Bob Graham.
Yeah, Bob Graham. He's in charge of the Senate intelligence.
Not in charge.
Well, I mean.
Go on.
Was he the chairman?
No.
Okay. Well, all these people had access to the same reports.
Yes,
and
they
John
did.
John Kerry voted to give Bush authorization to go to war.
Exactly right.
Can he? Well, then he's either a hypocrite.
You're breaking up on us. Try is you move your cell phone or if that's what
okay.
you're using.
Is he a hypocrite? Is he lying?
No, absolutely not.
Well, then he had access to the same reports. How could he say Bush lied to the American people?
Because Bush lied to him. The president of the United States and his people, Colin Powell, Don Rumsfeld, and all of them came before Congress and said they had intelligence that they had cooked and said this was the truth. Do you not give the President of the United States the benefit of the doubt in that situation? Do you not? They did, and they were wrong to do so, because we have found out since that the man would stop at nothing to lie to get us in that war. You do give your President of the United States the benefit of the doubt, and he did, and he cannot be questioned for that. We'd like to go to James in Pennsylvania. James, welcome to the program.
Guy, it's TJ in Pennsylvania.
TJ, speak up if you can.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Sure can.
Okay, that's great. The CIA was given dead on hijackers long before 9/11. Matter of fact, 18 months before 9/11. I flew for a major carrier. Matter of fact, two of the airplanes smashed into the ground and into the Trade Center. And I flew from or over the Mideast to New Delhi, India, and from London, England, all across there. We were given every time that we departed, one way or the other, we were given a report on where the hot spots were. And we always avoided them. So So we were probably given better information than what George Bush had. When the fuel people, the people in his staff that came from the energy, from the Carlyle Group or whomever they came from, and were on his staff, and the Clinton people tried to give him the information, they were scuffawed.
Absolutely.
They didn't believe him.
Anything to do with Clinton, they completely turned their noses up and walked the other way. Wouldn't listen to anything.
Absolutely.
Madeleine Albright told these people that Osama bin Laden was the most dangerous man, provided the greatest danger to the United States, and they laughed at her.
Absolutely. And all President Bush had to do was declare war. Tom Daschle came to the fore and called him a liar, told him what disservice he did to the American people and to our friends around the world. We're out there trying to make friends around the world, and this guy has made them all our enemies.
Have you talked to anybody from other countries lately? I have.
Yeah, they don't even answer my emails anymore.
Here in Southwest Florida, we get a lot of visitors from around the world in this paradise that we live in here. And I'm sorry to say, when the subject is brought up, man, it's not a good response we get about our president.
So that's why Tom Daschle had a soft pedal, or they would have been after him for treason.
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I wish these guys would have come down a little harder way back when, and they were calling everybody cowards. And I loved what that one lady called in earlier today. I can't remember who it was, and forgive me for that. But she made a statement, called these people that were screaming for war that never had to go, called them comfortable cowards. And I think that's quite a good term, comfortable cowards.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, George Bush was one of those. He joined the reserve so that he would not have to go to a faraway land to fight a war or whatever the principle is.
Why not admit it?
Why not admit it? And now these people that are over there fighting joined the reserve so they would not have to be in that position. And what he didn't do, he did to them.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
How proud can you be?
Yeah. Hey, James, thank you for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I do appreciate it very, very much.
Bye-bye.
You've got time to call in yet. Got a minute or two. 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500. Listen, we've got, about 4 minutes till the end of the program. Maybe a little less. Biz is giving me the evil eye over there saying, don't you dare miss the end of this program. You know, she's holding fingers up and everything. I got to do what she says, you know. We are a listener-supported program, and I know a lot of you listen to this program for the first time today and may not know that we are a listener-supported program. You didn't hear any commercials, did you? No, not for our program, because, frankly, we don't have any. We have not gone out and solicited any ads. We are listener-supported. And www.theguyjamesshow.com is the website, and you can go there and throw a couple of bucks into the plate. You know, $5, $10, $15, whatever you can afford. We appreciate it very, very much, and you help keep this program on the air. And it is energized people on the Democratic side who are keeping this show on the air. We've got a caller right now. We've got Lee in Fort Myers. Lee, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and I live in Southwest Florida as well, and I've been listening to your show. Candidly, I've spoken to some Germans, and while they don't hold everything we've done in the highest order, they understand that the role that we're more or less forced into is one that, sadly enough, as peacekeeper to the world, is one that maybe we weren't cut out for, maybe one what we did not choose to take on, but no one else has taken on the opportunity to do so. And your man who was the pilot who had his airline avoid going to hot spots. I don't understand how that works. Could you help me with that, please?
I don't know what you mean. I guess we lost Lee in Fort Myers. Are you there, Lee? I guess not. I don't know what that was about, frankly. I really have no idea. Man, we've had a lot of great calls today. Had a lot of really, really great phone calls today. Our listeners are supremely informed, most of them. We've had a couple today that were off the deep end. I love it, you know, when we get that that old commie thing. That reminds me of back in the Joe McCarthy days, the 50s, and then this into the 60s, when someone didn't like what you had to say, they called you a commie. He's a commie. And I don't know today if most people even know what I don't know if they know what a commie is. Commie, Pinko, all those good names they used to call. But, you know, isn't it sad? Did you see evidence of that today? You certainly did a couple of times. If you cannot talk on the issues, if you just can't talk on the issues, why you call names? It's like the old lawyer story. If you've got the facts on your side, beat on the facts. If you don't have the facts on your side, to beat on the table. And that's exactly what these folks do. They refuse, absolutely refuse, to join in discussing the issues. Why? You know why. Because they can't. They can't effectively argue the issues that the right is putting forth right now. They can't effectively say why this man deserves 4 more years in the White House. I submit to you that we've got a man running for the presidency of the United States, and whoever his vice presidential candidate is going to be is supremely qualified to be president of the United States. You've got a man that won't lie to you when he comes before you and states the case for a war or action or whatever around the world. He will not. We won't let him. Because we have a conscience, and we'll make sure this man tells the truth. We'll make sure he stays on the straight and narrow. And I think a man is of such character that you can depend on him to totally change the ethics in Washington, D.C. We thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate it so very, very much. Don't forget www.theguyjamesshow. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
The news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
An Al-Qaeda connection to the Spanish bombings or a ruse by homegrown terrorists? I'm Joan Bennett. Spain now holding 5 suspects in Thursday's train bombings, 3 Moroccans and 2 Indians. But the Spanish Interior Minister won't declare the Basque separatist group ETA innocent of the attacks yet.